I think they like you, Steve.
Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here. Steve Cochran Show. Dave Bennett. Mary Vanderbilt.
Good morning.
Mary Sandberg, of course. Steve Grzanich doing the news. We got a great show lined up. Man, this hour alone. Congressman Peter Roskam is going to join us. He has really been at the forefront of this Russia investigation. But more about the press conference in Helsinki, of course, and we'll talk with Peter Roskam, who both was critical and accepts the word jumble, the apology non-apology from the president. So we'll talk with him coming up right here at 6:20. A little bit later this hour, Senator Dick Durbin joins us. Get his thoughts on what has happened this week, what has unfolded when it comes to our relationship with Russia and their president, Vladimir Putin. That's coming up this hour. Peter Alexander is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got a lot of stuff to give away today. We'll do our Politics Thursday with Pat Brady. He'll be here. And also a little bit later, Dean Richards, of course, and the swap meet with Greg Flamm. If you've got something you want to, you think, junk that's in the closet, maybe down in the basement, up in the crawl space, and you think, you know what, I was smart to keep that Beanie Baby collection. That's Dave Bennett.
I'm hoping, still.
No, the Beanie Babies are worth nothing, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Greg will tell you if it is worth anything. 312.
Shot me down,
Mary, they got crushed last week because Dave Bennett and John Williams both have every Beanie Baby, and they're not worth anything.
Oh, I do too, but you know, I don't have the labels on them either, so they're really worth nothing.
Right, there's McDonald's Beanie Babies. As Greg said, there's one or two Beanie Babies in the history. They're like the myth, but there's one or two, the Princess Di Beanie Baby. If you have that one, that's the money. But everything else is kind of a fool's gold.
They are cute, though.
Yeah, they're cute. If you like, there's nothing against having them. Just they're not worth anything in resale. That's So you can keep them, but no, they're worth nothing.
Great.
They're worthless, but they're cute.
And hard to clean.
That's right. All right, let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, well, let me start with number one. Chance the Rapper today drops four new tracks. We had talked about it yesterday. He's delaying his album, but he put four new songs out. And one of the songs today, he announced that he is buying the now-shuttered Chicago news site, Chicagoist. Yeah, he announced it, and then when the news media followed up on it, it was true. WNYC in New York City owned the IST network, and the Chicagoist has been sold to Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper, now a media mogul. Says he's going to get into the business of bringing back that site to news, weather, and you know, entertainment and events, things like that.
You'd be too young to get that. I mean, that's impressive.
It's impressive. It's probably worth nothing, to be honest. It's not like it's $1 million buy. I'm sure it was a dollar because that site was actually shuttered to win.
Yeah, but even more so, the business, just the interest in informing people it's cool. It's good.
He says he wants to, and I'm paraphrasing his album, his lyrics, but it was something about combating the. And then taking the racist media down.
Well, if you could,
right? Did I get that beat? That's close.
If you could do like a complete hip hop breakdown,
yeah, that would.
You know, maybe like a flow chart.
Right, that would be it.
Next, where you want to go from here?
Metra,
struggling and overcrowding and air conditioning problem. Who was on a Metra train recently?
I was.
I had
last Friday.
Overcrowded or non-air conditioned?
Air conditioning worked fine. It was not overcrowded on this particular line.
This is the BNSF.
I was not on the Burlington Northern.
Right. They have said that is the trouble line, and it's a line that
they call it the trouble line.
It really is. they have had air conditioning issues. The cars have broken in the wintertime. They had a lot of delays.
This is the usage thing, right? It's always jammed.
It's the bane of Metra's right now. This is the thorn in their side to figure out this
route. Too many people use it. The cars are like 30 years old, and they don't have people to fix. They don't have staff to fix it.
I'll help.
And the reason we're hearing about it now, this is interesting, is because a lot of the passengers are fed up, so they've changed their transportation, their routine. they go on the earlier train or the later train to avoid that train, so it's overcrowding the other train. So now you're hearing more passengers complain about it.
Next. Representative Mike Quigley wants Republicans to listen to Sarah Huckabee Sanders on election security. He's been pushing to get to the federal government to send states to more, or pushing to get the government to send states more money for election security. The part I don't understand about this is what is his push for Sarah Sanders?
I guess maybe she's talking about it.
Yeah, she brought it up.
She brought it up in a press conference.
And so he's saying crank it up, even if she brought it up by mistake.
I think he's trying to use some of her words to be able to inspire the federal government to do what she said and send money to the states.
Okay, next. Facebook said it's going to begin removing misinformation that could lead to people being harmed. What's the criteria even here, and how many lawyers wrote that sentence?
Yeah.
People being physically harmed is a huge problem on social media anyway, so incitement to do the same, whether it's a knucklehead X or something like we saw last weekend where there was a shooting, and before you know it, within minutes, social media goes wild, and now you've got a near riot. This is the police-involved shooting on the south side. So Facebook's couldn't be more vague. And it's a little tough to categorize, but you have to categorize.
Well, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg wasn't vague yesterday. He put his foot in it big time with Recode. And I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
He said he finds the Holocaust denial deeply offensive. He doesn't believe such content should be banned from Facebook. He says that he doesn't think people are intentionally getting it wrong. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, but he walked it back, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think his comments, he was questioned pretty hard on it and seemed to kind of stick with the...
Let me
said offensive content isn't necessarily banned unless it is to organize
harm. Well, how about we start with specific threats? Right. How about we start with specific threats to go out and harm people and we shut it down there?
Well, don't you think Holocaust denial is a little bit of that? I mean,
no, I think it's idiotic.
Okay,
I think it's moronic. But I'm talking about it. Something as simple as a lunatic ex says, "Hey, I'm going to kill my wife."
Yeah, that's basically what he said yesterday.
So, and as far as Zuckerberg, he should stop talking. Because every time he speaks for Facebook, he makes a mistake. Facebook's a global company. They don't suffer under the same or thrive under the same constitutional restrictions that we have, but they have to do business by the laws of this country in regards to people in this country. That's what the lawyers are for. Next, European authorities fined Google $5.1 billion for abusing power in the mobile phone market in order for the company to alter its practices. Hmm. You know, even if you're Google... That's going to be a meeting. $5 billion. $5 billion. That's a lot of money.
I don't know if I agree with that, only because they're competing with Apple, and so they get a ding where Apple just gets a skate. I mean, essentially, this is about Google putting their apps preloaded on phones.
On the phone. It's your phone. I don't.
You can delete those, you make the same argument about Safari, right?
Yeah, and Microsoft they had this problem, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago with when it caused Bill Gates to leave the company.
I think it puts Google at a competitive disadvantage if the European Union's getting their business.
Look that up on Google, what you just said. Next, 141 people took the stage in a very powerful ESPYs last night. I couldn't make the whole show, but I got to tell you, Danica Patrick was great.
She was good.
I never would have said Danica Patrick would have been great. She was surprisingly good on all aspects, from the serious stuff to the funny stuff. But two of the most powerful moments were the Larry Nassar victims at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. They were given the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And if that wasn't enough to make you cry, Jim Kelly, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, on stage with Dan Marino and John Elway, contemporaries of his, talking about, here's the basic truth. It looked like he was saying goodbye. You hope he's going to rally again. He's rallied before, but it was amazing.
He's had a series of setbacks in his battle with cancer, and one, I think, just like last week. But the 141 Larry Nassar victims on stage, three of the women spoke, and they spoke very powerfully, and there weren't too many dry eyes in the house.
No,
it was a big moment.
It's remarkably good for a show that seems tired and old. It was a good night.
And Judge Aquilino was there. all dressed up.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Should have just given her the mic.
They gave her a shout out. And the 141, that's not even half of the victims that spoke in the courtroom. So, which there's victims that never even came
forward. And you still have this Ohio State wrestling thing going on with Jim Jordan looking the other way. Hey, 618, Peter Roskam, Congressman Roskam will join us. Senator Durbin later on as well. And Peter Alexander from NBC. One of the finest reporters to get in the president's face, and any politician's face for that matter. All coming up with a very famous Pat Brady.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I have a major problem here in the studio. Somebody stole my trash can. I don't know that we'll be able to continue. Congressman Peter Roskam standing by, and we've only got a few minutes with the congressman. I appreciate your time. Good morning.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
You didn't take my trash can, did you?
Not me.
I understand that you had a chance to at least exchange a brief conversation with President Trump before he left for Russia, and you said, listen, Putin, he's not our friend. What was his response?
Well, it was after he came back from Russia, and it was after the press conference at Helsinki. It was in the White House, and I relayed a story to him about Natan Sharansky, the Jewish refusenik who the Soviets locked in a gulag, and when he heard of Ronald Reagan's speech calling the Soviet Union the evil empire, it was incredibly impactful and encouraging for everybody in the gulag, and it was the beginning of the end of the Soviet Union in a lot of ways. I laid that out before Donald Trump to say, look, this is the way an American president needs to be speaking, particularly as it relates to the Russians.
What was his response?
He was very defensive.
Defensive about himself or defensive about Russia?
No, defensive about himself. He said that, look, that was a different time. Things are different now. It's more complicated now and so forth. And he was in full Donald Trump defensive mode.
Do you feel like you were blown off?
No, I don't feel like I was blown off, but I feel like he was defending himself, and I don't think he was understanding the point that I was making. And I felt, Steve, like it was very important that the first meeting that he had with members of Congress when he came back, that encounter that he had at that press conference was not dismissed, and that I felt really compelled that I had to speak to him about it directly. Because when he just treated Vladimir Putin as if he was just, oh, that old rascal, Vladimir, basically, instead of saying, thinking and communicating, Vladimir Putin's a killer. Vladimir Putin is complicit in the deaths of thousands of people in Syria, and Vladimir Putin has ordered the invasion of two countries, Georgia and Ukraine, who are our allies. And I felt compelled to speak to him.
Well, I'm glad you did, and we need more outspoken Republicans who are willing to stand up and say what you've just said in regards to this, because the most important part of this conversation, and I'm talking about Putin and Trump here, to me, it's not whether he said would or wouldn't, or whether he said no to Cecilia Vega yesterday about how he felt about the continuing cyber attack on the country. The most important part is what went on in those 2 hours that we have no record of and we don't know about. So I'll take this up with Senator Durbin as well. But from the Republican side, what sort of sway do you have? What sort of influence can you put forth to get the public to understand what those meetings were about, and at least have Congress, with your duty of oversight, know what went on?
Yeah, that's right. And part of this is driving forth with further Russian sanctions. Last year, on a bipartisan basis, we passed sanctions on cyber attacks against the Russians. We were able to move forward and give lethal aid to the Ukrainians, which they've requested. And now this whole notion of them meddling in the 2018 elections that are upcoming, there's been language that has been introduced in both the House and the Senate now that would put further sanctions on the Russians, puts them on notice that if they meddle again, then their banking sector is going to come under pressure, and their energy sector is going to come under pressure. And these are two things that are just vital to the Russian economy. So if they're up in the wattage, we've got to up the wattage.
Congressman Rossman, the cyber attack on our elections in 2016, do you consider that an act of war?
Well, an act of war is a term of art, and it's an incredibly provocative term. So I would choose not to characterize that. I would choose to say it's a provocation, and it's a provocation that we need to, number one, assess properly, number two, not dismiss and not be ambiguous about, and number three, prepare for, and number four, communicate that if they do it again, there will be consequences. And I think that is the best way that we, as the democracy that is the envy of the world, the democracy that other countries look to say, hey, this is an example of how to do it. That's what we've got to do moving forward, because the best thing that happens moving forward is that the Russians back off from this type of meddling. We've seen it in other countries. And right now, Vladimir Putin's Russia is aggressive, and it is malevolent, and it is revanchist, meaning it wants to go back to the days of empire, and that's a real challenge for us.
It's RoskomForCongress.com for the reelection campaign. Roskom.house.gov is the normal day-to-day website. Last question, the Magnitsky Act, extremely important. It was the center of the original Donald Trump Jr. meeting. It's all floating around this woman who was arrested in the past few days and is still being held as a Russian spy on our soil who may or may not have infiltrated the campaign. When Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump get together and Putin says, hey, why don't you send me Bill Browder? Why don't you send me a couple of these guys like the former ambassador? And then, you know, I'll talk to him. It's an insane idea. Is there talk in Congress, in the House, to stop it?
It's a terrible idea. Michael McCall, the former ambassador, should never go. And look, it's not going to happen. In my view, the Magnitsky Act is something that I supported and was overwhelmingly supported in the last couple of Congresses to put pressure. And this is targeted pressure on individual Russians who are complicit in bad acts. In that case, it was a murder in Russia. But moving forward, this sort of back and forth diplomacy is very, very tender stuff in a way. And by that, I mean incredibly consequential for the people who are caught up in it. And it's incredibly consequential for the rest of the world, who is now looking to see how these superpowers are interacting with one another. Authoritarianism is on the rise in the world today, and we've got to make sure that we are standing against it and supporting these democracies that are emerging and under a lot of pressure.
Roskom.house.gov, RoskomForCongress.com. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
The Magnitsky Act, by the way, is centered around a guy named Sergei Magnitsky. He was the attorney for Bill Browder. Yeah. Both were huge thorns in the side of Vladimir Putin and the oligarchs of Russia, where billions and billions of dollars was locked up around the world, including Vladimir Putin's money. And none of them can get access to it. It's why it matters so much to Putin. But the idea that Michael McFaul and Bill Browder would be turned over to the Russian government, are you kidding?
It's only being,
in 2 days after we had an indictment of 12 of their people.
It's only being talked about because the president said, interesting idea.
Oh,
it's just such a weird thing for a president to say, interesting idea. Just, once again, we're caught in Trump
idea.
Speak. It's the way he communicates.
When Putin brings that up, you look him in the eye and you go, we're not having any discussion about you getting any Americans sent your way. And by the way, I'd like the 12 that we just indicted. And that's the perfect opportunity to say,
you just
knock it off. And I don't mean in a Barack Obama way. I mean, knock it off as in this never happens again.
Unfortunately, we live in a time now where we all have a head scratch on how much the president is prepared and ready for these things. And you just wonder if he just was sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about, but interesting idea.
It's just so wrong. 6:31. Headlines coming up. Stand by for that. The MVPP at 7:20. Senator Durbin in about 18 minutes.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 7:20 WGN.
I want to say hi to Dr. Lupo and all the fine people at Northwestern Orthopedics. With my 95-year-old man knees, I've been having some trouble sleeping, and I saw Dr. Lupo yesterday, and he's just great. He slapped me and said, man up. No, great treatment, and eventually I'm going to get my knees replaced. And Dave, we're going to give the old ones away on the air.
Auction them off?
Seventh caller. Yeah, seventh caller. It's going to be good.
That's like when people keep the umbilical cord or the belly button.
Well, that's ridiculous, but my knees, that's a legitimate suggestion. All right, so Sandberg and I were just talking about this off the air. I feel like I need to file kidnapping charges against Portillo's.
Uh-oh, why?
Well, because I rolled through the drive-thru downtown here, across from the soon-to-be new Rock and Roll McDonald's, just grabbing a quick lunch.
Yeah.
And once you get it, and I forget, because I don't go there that often, but I forget that once you're in the line, you're in the line. It's two lanes. There's no system. You order at the beginning, and you love this too, right? Where the people come out and they take your order in a card before you look at the menu?
That's yesterday. It was National Hot Dog Day, so I got the kids hot dogs for dinner. And before you even get to the menu board with the little talkie speaker thing, they meet you at the beginning of the entrance.
No perusing. No time to peruse.
You got to have that menu memorized.
And it's a digital age.
But here's the thing about the digital age. They should have an app that allows me to leave once I've received my lunch.
Yeah, right.
Because what happens is they bring your food. You know, you order. They take your money. They got that poker dealer change belt that they wear. And then they bring
you
your food out.
You pay cash in that line?
Oh, well, either or.
Of course
or.
You do.
Oh, either or.
Yeah.
Whatever's closest to my left hand, because my left hand's by the window. And then you're in a lane. If you're in the right lane, you think free. But no, there's people in front of you waiting for food. You can be in that line for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's an engineering feat. I will give them credit because it looks like extreme chaos, but have you ever not gotten your food the right way? I mean, they do
got it the right way, but I actually celebrated a birthday there because I couldn't get out of the line, so I ordered chocolate cake.
I am still, to this day, cannot figure out the secret of how they do their drive-thru because
they give you the post-it note, and that's stuck to your driver's side window or
digital age.
But we got lucky because somebody else got their food and pulled out. We were in the one in Old Orchard, but the two-lane thing
same
still
issue.
Exists.
Same idea.
But they brought us our food very quickly because when you order hot dogs, it takes 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to...
Wait, you're telling me those are pre-made?
We were able to pull around and leave quickly, but it happens all the time where I've been trapped. But I don't know why they haven't... What they didn't plan for, or did Portillo's drive-thru become more popular than they originally intended?
Well, the traffic spills onto Clark, it backs
it's
out.
It's dangerous
on
going
Clark.
Out there, too.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
And if you get two SUVs together in that little alley, well, good luck to both of you. And if the right lane were simply for exits and the left lane for picking up your food, it seems like that's the answer.
I'm the first to have a problem with the chaos, but I'll defend Portillo's. That system is better than, say, the traditional Wendy's, McDonald's.
Is it?
Burger King, because you're stuck in that line. You can't move. You have to get up to the window to get your food. And so it doesn't matter if your food is ready or not ready. And at least in your case, you're able three or four. You might get that opening to leave before the people.
To roll the dice, dude. I'm telling you right now, if you and I had a McDonald's Portillo's drive-through race, I would kick your ass every day.
We'll have to do that video and see. Dave probably knows this. They used to have rules, because he probably orders a lot of ribs, where you couldn't order things in the Portillo's drive-through like ribs.
Oh,
the longer items you couldn't get, but I think
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think
the
that's
slow cook stuff.
Yeah, but then,
why do you think I order ribs?
I was just
because your daughter's in the rib business.
Now I'm craving Portillo's.
No, that's once a year.
I was gonna get a chopped salad last night.
Oh, it's the best,
Steve Grzanich. Except for then I was getting them hot dogs. And
oh,
I was like, you know
dogs.
What? It's hot dog day, so I better get a hot dog.
I'm telling you, chopped salad. If you had one food left, if you were on an island and you could only have one food, you'd get the chopped salad from Portillo's. The problem is, take too long to get it, and you'd die.
But it lasts two meals, chopped salad.
Not in my house.
I was at the Portillo's a couple weeks ago.
I ate it for two meals.
And I went in there, and I only went in there with my son to say, let's get a shake, right? So we go to the shake, and they go, they said, the shake machine's down, so no shakes. And I'm
what?
Like, that's what I said. I'm like, how is it? You ain't got a backup you can plug in?
That's
got
to be the number one priority.
I was like, it's on your sign. It's like hot dog beef shakes. Oof. So we sat down. We didn't get the shake. I got a hot dog or something. We were sitting down. And they have someone who comes around the restaurant who's like telling me that on my receipt, if I just go to www.whatever and tell the survey, I could get a free slice of cake or something, whatever.
Oh.
You know, blah, blah. And I go, how about a shake? How about a shake? And they're like, it doesn't work. I'm like, why would you give me this right now? I am seething that there's no shake. And you just walked up to my table saying, would you like to do a survey? And I'm like, I got into it. Miles was so embarrassed. I got very Larry David.
That's great that you've gotten to a point where you can embarrass your kid. Welcome to the party.
I was very Larry David at that moment.
The last point of this, which I think is vital as well, is as far as engineering at Portillo's. And by the way, they're printing money. They clearly know what they're doing. That chain was sold for almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's not bad for a hot dog guy from the city. But the chocolate cake shake.
Yes.
All right. I'm not a huge cake fan.
That's
shocks
awesome,
all
man.
Of you. But the chocolate cake from Portillo's is the greatest cake.
You want to know what makes that shake work?
Well, wait, I was just going to say this to you. But they take the cake, they put it in a chocolate shake, and they mince it. But the problem is, chunks of chocolate cake get into the straw. And now you've got an engineering problem.
The guy told me the secret to that shake.
Hang on, Justin, you don't know this.
What?
Oh, go ahead. Mary makes the Partillo's cake for us all the time.
And by the way, just as good or better.
Oh, that's amazing.
Maybe we should see how to make the shake from my Portillo's cake. We could try that.
And then we'll open Mary's. The ingredients in the shake is mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah. That's
I'm drooling
Mary.
Like a dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what, though, Steve? It's a good look on you.
Talking mayonnaise in the 6 o'clock hour, and you're like, ugh.
So, again, if we could, well, Senator Durbin's coming up. Maybe federal charges. I was kidnapped by Portillo's yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. I mean, I'm free now, but that's only because I'm wily. At 6:46.
You ran.
Be the worst getaway ever.
You got out of your car, you got out of the Tahoe and just ran. Left Portillo's the door ajar.
If Portillo's is kidnapping me and I was going to run, they just go, give him a head start. Let's see how funny this is.
You think those guys would chase you? They'd be like, eh.
Chase me? They'd stroll.
Yeah. Have you seen Steve run?
No one has in several years.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Senator Durbin will join us in a second. Pat Brady as well. Pat, how are you today? I hope you're fine. You're good?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's the name of your company?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Anything related to Lincoln Forum you'd like to plug as we stand by?
Oh, yeah. Actually, big debate next week from today. Peter Roskam and his opponent, Sean Kasten, at Union League
That's
Club.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be a great event. It's going to be... Mike Flannery from Fox is going to be the moderator, and they're going to Facebook Live it, and then they're going to air it at 10:30.
And you just heard Congressman Roskam, I assume, on the way in?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so it was good to hear him call out Trump because he hasn't been doing a lot of that, and this time he did.
Yeah, he really did. And I got kind of the details on that meeting. He pulled him aside, and I guess the president really was taken aback that he did what he did. So good for him. He did the right thing.
312-981-7200. We'll have a text question for you after 7. I haven't quite decided what it is because, well, I haven't thought of one. And that's why Justin and Mary and Dave and Steve and Mary Van Velde are all going to come up with a great one for you.
Well, could it just be how to better engineer a Portillo's drive-thru?
Which drive-thru is fastest?
One of the texters said that they just don't do the drive-thru. They park and go in.
Well, that's crazy talk.
That's more Wild
Wild
West.
That's insane.
I do the same thing because I like to read the menu.
What? You get out of your car? You're an American. You don't have to get out of your car.
But where do you even park at the one over there?
In Oak Brook?
No, the one here.
Steve uses his newsman parking. He pulls up in front, says he's covering a story, and then he walks in.
I have emergency lights on my car. I just turn them on.
Plus, they rhyme when they give you your food. 27, your hot dog is heaven.
The good ones do, right?
Yeah, because that's the way it should be. Also on the program later on, we'll do swap meet today. You want to explain how swap meet works?
Oh, so great. You think you've got your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk. Greg Flamm, a picker, at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter, will tell you if it's worth anything.
And this is on the heels of you guys going out there.
Yeah, we went out to Wolves Flea Market.
There's
on
a huge
Sunday.
Gallery at WGNradio.com.
That was so fun. The best part about that is that we were doing pictures and Facebook Live and doing everything and going from booth to booth. Most of the vendors did not want to be on camera. Most of the people would look at the
pizza.
Because
a lot of that stuff probably is lifted.
Hot. That's you would think, but it's not that. They think in some way that by Pete taking pictures of it, he is going. It's going to go on the WGN radio, and people will love it, and they won't buy it. If that makes sense.
Oh, I gotcha.
Boy, though that seems weird,
that's
because you would
pretty
think
expansive.
All I know is I saw, you know, when Greg first came in on the Steve Cochran Show, he said that socks were the thing to get, and there were pictures of piles and piles of socks.
Piles of socks.
So that really
there's
is.
Some really
the
cool
flea
stuff.
Market is where you go for socks.
That's a huge flea market. That's the one in the Allstate Arena parking lot. Huge.
Hey, one more food thing while we wait for Senator Durbin here. He's running a couple minutes late. Lay's Potato Chips is coming out with 8 new flavors.
Let's hear them.
Oreos did 150 new flavors. Why can't we just have what we have? What do we need 8 new flavors
the
for?
The takeaway on the 8 flavors, the big one that everybody's looking forward to, deep dish pizza.
Well, here we go. Here are the regional, they're based on regional dishes, okay? Chili con queso, Cajun spice, Chesapeake crab bay spice, because when I have a chip, I want it to smell a little crabby, a little oceany. Deep dish pizza, as you said, fried pickles with ranch. New England lobster roll. Oh, you be careful. There's nothing as great as a lobster roll when it's done right. Pimento cheese and sweet Thai chili. There's not one of those that jumps out, with the exception of maybe deep dish pizza that you'll see in the next month after they go through this little phase.
I actually submitted a flavor.
What was your flavor?
There's a restaurant in Maui called Mama's Fish House, mm-hmm. and they make a macadamia nut mahi-mahi.
Oh, I've been there. I've had that.
It's amazing. It's great. So that's, I submitted that flavor, but obviously it didn't make the cut.
Now, how does that work from the people at Lay's? Do you get an official Lay's turndown letter? We appreciate your suggestions
for playing. You know, keep submitting.
Okay. All right. Senator Durbin standing by, and let's go there now in the midst of a very busy morning. Good morning, Senator.
Hi, Steve.
Appreciate you coming on. There's a question lingering over the country and the world this morning, and that is, what happened in those 2 hours that Putin and Trump were together alone? Can we get access to it, with the exception of obviously the most secure information that rightfully needs to be kept secure? But in your job in Congress, as the folks who are supposed to have oversight over this, are you ever going to know?
I doubt it. I really seriously doubt it. They can claim, executive privilege or classified information, whatever it may be. But here's the bottom line. When he stood in front of a camera with Vladimir Putin, he gave away the store. What possibly could have improved on that in the 2 hours if they sat with one another? And why does he continue to want to meet with him in such a private way? I mean, it really defies tradition where you have several people in the room to witness what's said and to perhaps help the president if he needs some information. But that's not the way he operates.
Yeah, and it's more than tradition, right? Because one of the reasons these things are recorded or at least witnessed is to protect our side as well when the other side comes out and says what they say.
Of course. And in this situation, this president is so unpredictable, so unstable, and so unprepared when he goes into these meetings that are dealing with national security on a global basis. He says things off the cuff that just breaks your heart to think the impact it's going to have on people. You know, my mother was born in Lithuania, so I'm Baltic, and our neighbors in Poland. The future of NATO is the future of these countries.
Right.
If NATO isn't there to say to the Russians, don't you dare, they're going to dare and do it. They've done it historically, and they'll do it again. So when he tosses the Baltics or Poland or Montenegro or whatever country it is and says, I don't get it. I don't know why we would waste an American life on Montenegro. You think to yourself, well, the Montenegrins are standing next to us fighting our battles in NATO. They're good allies, and they're willing to sacrifice the lives of their people to be on America's side. How in the world do you build an alliance if you don't say, we'll be on your side?
Well, in a country of 600,000 people, doubled their Afghan force by, or I should say, went up by 50% when they were asked. And this is, again, a country of 600,000 that the Soviet Union is furious is involved in NATO and wants to do anything they can to increase their control over that entire part of the world. The lack of understanding, fundamental understanding of the job, continues to be a problem, regardless of whatever dishonesty he's involved in.
Well, he's unprepared for each day. He basically has no sense of history. We are fortunate to have a handful of people in his administration who I really count on. One of them is the Secretary of Defense, General Mattis. He called us in, a number of us, for breakfast this week. I can't tell you how much I respect this man for what he's given our country and what he's doing at the Department of Defense. Exactly. General Dunford sitting next to him. The same thing. And let me tell you a word about my Republican Senate colleague, Dan Coats of Indiana. Dan is a buddy of mine, and I served with him in the House and in the Senate. And when the president made him director of national intelligence, I was happy to vote for him. I'm confident he has stuck his neck out twice this week publicly to say the president was wrong when it comes to the Russians and what they're planning on doing to us in the next election. And I hope Dan doesn't get discouraged and quit. We need Dan Coats and people just like him.
Justin?
Senator Durbin. This week has been a lot about language and about words. We, of course, with the would and wouldn't, and we've also had questions about whether it was meddling or it was an attack. Do you see the cybersecurity issues of the election in 2016 and what is continuing from Russia as an act of war?
It's a cyber act of war, and there's no question about it, and it goes to the heart of it. I mean, God forbid we ever have another tragedy like 9/11, 3,000 innocent Americans. But with cyber intrusion and attack, you can turn an American election upside down, and they almost did it. Illinois was one of the first casualties. They found a wormhole to get into the voter list, and lucky for us, they didn't use it. They could have changed just one digit in each of our home addresses, and everyone showing up to vote when they put down their home address would be challenged. Provisional ballots, a complete mess. That's all they had to do. They didn't. But they're looking for the capability to do something just like that again, and we are naive and crazy if we don't admit it.
The greatest country in the world doesn't need to be in the kidnapping business, and frankly, that's what we have been involved in. We can certainly have the skills and talents and ability to figure out who the criminals are who try to sneak into this country, but stealing children from people is inexcusable, and then not even going the route of a dry cleaner and having a ticket to reunite the two is even more it's insane. And the Senate bill that's been there that you've been a big part of, barring family separations, appears to have died now. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, and the Republicans don't want to move it. They don't want to talk about it, and they should, because we estimate there are 2,500 kids out there forcibly separated from their mothers and fathers, and we generally know where they are, but it was described to me as a scavenger hunt to team them up with their parents.
These are human lives.
They are, and to think, you know, if you ship a package, Amazon, UPS, there's a tracking number, and you can figure out where they are at any moment. Our government didn't do that, and as a consequence, we are trying to link these folks up, and in some cases, their parents have been deported while we still have the kids. I never want to see a child put back in the hands of someone who might harm them. Let's put that as a bottom line. But to think that we turn these kids loose into a bureaucratic system without a system of tracking is just shameful.
I know you got to run. Appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Senator Durbin, live from Washington this morning, where he is one of the folks that's being asked by everyone to show up. So we appreciate him jumping on, as always. Pat Brady, I've really been interested, even though you and I spent several days on the golf course together and you ruined our team.
I thought we spent five glorious days together, and you haven't called me since. I'm surprised I'm even here today, Steve.
You need to explain to us from your long perspective after the news what your take is on this bizarre week and what we've seen and what real danger wins. We'll get to that in a second. Yes?
I have your text question for you.
What is it?
Oh. What would be your chip flavor?
Okay, that's fine. What's the greatest chip flavor you can think of that nobody ever thought of that you're demanding right now? 312-981-7200. And Pat and the rest of us back after
Russian
the news.
Dressing.
Is that next? On 720 WGN.
Listen to Pat Brady. Listen to Pat Brady.
714. Eric Adelstein's on assignment. Pat Brady's here. Pat is a political consultant and he's a genius. And a regular guest in the program. We appreciate that very much. You started walking with your dad to try to swing Republican votes when you were how old? Well, we got a mic on. Try it again.
68, Precinct 27, in Bloomington.
1968, walking precincts with your father.
Well, my dad was a precinct committeeman. The funny thing about it, I was in Bloomington, and that was right next to where Adlai Stevenson grew up, and he lost that precinct both times in 52 and 56. So that's, yeah, a lot of people, most people have done this a long time, been active, and I think it's fun to walk precincts, actually.
Well, you and I come from a time where there could be, at least most of the time, respectful disagreement. And while one view might be on the right, the other might be on the left, you realize for the good of the country, you'd have to meet somewhere in the middle. I don't believe those days are gone, but they sure aren't here right now. So when you don't have a Congress that's willing to stand up to a president who is inexorably tied to Vladimir Putin, how nervous are you about this?
Pretty nervous, but the real leaders in the country, I think, like Congressman Roskam and John McCain and the people that understand the gravity of the situation did. There were a lot more people, and even on the Republican side, that did actually speak up. Now, the Freedom Caucus people, Mark Meadows, and some of those people that are tied to the hip with the president didn't. But, and I know this is way into the weeds for radio, but unless we change the way we choose how districts are drawn, you're just going to have this polarized.
Over and over again.
Yeah, because your risk is losing in the primary. It's not losing in the general.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the two most important things you can do this fall, and obviously vote, but secondarily find a candidate who believes that gerrymandering is killing the country, not just Illinois, all over the country, and support those candidates. And then secondarily, really decide if you want to leave the home or you leave your home, this country, in the hands of Donald Trump and his friend President Putin, because the future of the country depends on those two things.
It does. And after I glued my head back together after it exploded watching that press conference,
right?
And we heard 36 hours, 48 hours now of what analysis. But to me, let's just take another look at this. If we lose, if the Republicans lose the House, there's two things going here. There's a potential impeachment proceeding, mm-hmm. and then there's a potential criminal investigation. And you saw in the last week, that, and we talked about this a year ago, prosecutors do timelines, and you plug all the facts into the timelines, and the timeline's starting to get filled up. And I still don't think they're going to meet the collusion standard or conspiracy to defraud the election. But he is under investigation for obstruction of justice. And to establish obstruction of justice, you have established a corrupt intent. And when you do acts like he did with Putin, from just that side of the equation, why is he doing this?
Yeah, and it's so bizarre. You saw that with the travel ban. There was they were able to point back to a rally at some point where he said something that was that could be negative to Muslims.
Well, he's a defense attorney's nightmare, right?
That's my point. Everyone's beating him up on the international affairs, which I agree with completely. But I think there's another side of this. When I watch him, I go, wow, his lawyers have got to be just going out of their minds right now. Impeachment's political, but there still is an obstruction investigation going on.
Yesterday, we had a text question, which was great, that Steve came up with, the complicit or clueless? And this question of, is it a communication problem with the president when he's speaking up there in Helsinki and he says the wrong words, would or wouldn't, and he's just spitballing and he doesn't have a handle on the English language? Or is it complicit? Is this idea that he knows what he's doing and it's a long-term strategy?
Well, nobody knows because you can't crawl into that gourd, but probably like most of us, I've been following Donald Trump for 25, 30 years through the New York media, Howard Stern. I mean,
he used to come on the radio with me all the time. Funny, he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, but he is a New York, Manhattan real estate developer. And we said this all along when he was dealing with the Mueller. This is not a New Jersey gaming regulator. This is the special counsel, probably the best prosecutor in the history of prosecutors. So I can't give you an answer to your question. But when you look at the bizarre behavior, you think, what's he covering up? And I don't think it's collusion if he is actually covering something up. I think it more has to do with the corrupt way that the Russians do business. I spent a good amount of time in the private sector doing international money laundering and fraud investigations, and one of the most corrupt countries in the world is the former Soviet Union, Russia,
right.
And money laundering and things like that. We have very strict laws against all that, and he's subject to those laws. So I think maybe that's the worry.
Or maybe he's covering that up, and it makes it seem like he's covering up something bigger.
Could be. I mean, that's one theory. But the other side of it is, listen, I'm all for golf, but when you're going to meet with a guy like Putin who prepares, he's a very detailed and he's very prepared in these meetings, and you're out playing golf in Scotland the day before, it makes me wonder whether you're actually preparing for the meeting. And I think when they brought up the question of these people that he wants to yank back to or interview and Putin wants to interview, I agree with Steve. I don't think he had any idea what he was talking about.
No, I don't think he knows.
You said this bizarre behavior. It's bizarre behavior to most of us, but to him, isn't it consistent with how he's been?
Oh, it's completely consistent. And to me, it's back to the just lack of preparation and the fundamental understanding of the institutions of our government, going back to when he was criticizing the judge early on in the campaign or criticizing the FBI. But the big thing here was he taking the side of a psychopath murderer. And if you read anything about Putin, you'll
it's
understand
exactly
just how bad he is.
It's exactly what he is.
And taking his word over our intelligence agencies. That's a problem.
The arguments on this will continue forever, but I think we can drop, because I certainly feel like we have, you can drop the idea that he lies a lot. Yeah, he does. He's going to lie later today. He'll lie tomorrow. He'll lie the day after that. But this notion that all of this is because he's a sensitive snowflake who doesn't like when people say he didn't win the election fair and square. Based on the system we have in place, he won the election. And the only people who bring that up as an excuse or question it are he and Sean Hannity and everybody else that's trying to suck up to him over and over and over again. And all it does is elongate the conversation. Everything he does is in the interest of Donald Trump. Donald Trump first. You can't have a president that doesn't put the country first.
And that was the headline of the Wall Street Journal. He chose Trump, Russia over America. But to take a bigger view of the whole thing, we've had a lot of goofy presidents. And it's hard for me to watch, or people that have watched this and been involved forever. Whatever happened to the aspirational or inspirational president? What if the moonshot or Reagan's the shining city on a hill? What the role of the presidency is supposed to be? And my kids, if you get on their Twitter feeds or any of the things, they just mock this guy, and that's really bad for the country.
Yeah, it is bad for the country, but he has earned every bit of the mocking, and it's hard to sit down with anybody right now and say, well, you can't say that about the president, because I respect the office. I'm concerned about the future of the office because of all the cleanup that's going to have to be done. I don't respect the guy sitting in the office.
No, but to me, too, as a lifelong conservative, a lot of us have to make a choice now because he's not governing as a conservative in a lot of respects, at least in foreign policy and trade and some other things he's doing well. So there's the Republican Party is really kind of a crossroads what we're going to do with this guy.
Steve, I don't know what you have coming up at 7:30, but know that these suggested chip flavors are coming in. Deviled egg, apple cinnamon, cream cheese and green olive.
Really?
Wow, there's going to be like a buffet of chips?
Ketchup, chicken salad, and sweet pickle.
I like that one.
Let's see. This is my favorite. Walleye shore lunch.
Oh, so like a fish and chips flavor, I bet.
That's what it sounds like,
that's
right?
Good. That's good.
And Nutella chocolate covered or Portillo's chocolate cake chip. Those are all from the fine listeners of this program.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Got Blackhawks convention passes for you in a second. Before we get to that, whom is the most valuable person in the world? Who could it be? The most valuable person on the planet, or as I like to call it, the MVP. Mm-hmm. Who is it today?
Today, mountain biker Jarrett Little.
Who is he? Is he a friend of yours?
He is not a friend of mine. I don't know him, but he was riding with fellow cyclists in the woods in Columbus, Georgia, and he spotted a creature who needed help. It was a stray dog that looked to be hit by a car.
Yeah, it broke its leg, right?
Yeah, and the cyclist fed the dog, gave him water, but they knew they couldn't leave the dog in the woods. So this is great. The picture is amazing. Jarrett Little took the dog and put the dog on his back, almost like
rode the dog to help.
And he rode the dog to help. He hoisted the pup on his back, rode into town. The photo went viral. The dog is okay. A tremendous story.
And, now, did the dog have an owner that he got back to, or is it staying with Jarrett?
That's a good question.
I don't see it in the story.
Yeah, I don't know what the, I don't know what the status is of the ownership of the dog, but yeah.
Well, you think about it. Look, dogs are special. Mm-hmm. Dogs are God's creatures, and for the dog to have that kind of trust for a complete stranger, where you could pick the dog up with a broken leg and drape him over your back and then bike ride him to help. That's amazing.
It is.
Thank you. Blackhawks convention ticket. Seventh caller, 312-981-7200. Headlines next.
Dover Corporation's announced second quarter earnings today of $140 million on a per-share basis. The Downers Grove Company says its net income of 91 cents is what is being reported. Big-name companies, in addition to Dover reporting earnings today, include Domino's Pizza, Blackstone, BNY Mellon, Philip Morris International, and Union Pacific. Microsoft after the bell today. Now WGN traffic with Mary Vandeville.
Up on Eden's about 32 to Lake Hook Road. Inbound looks good. Up on the Kennedy just jumped to 52 minutes to the airport. About 32 to the Eden's, 52 coming in as well. Inbound Eisenhower is an hour from 53, but an hour 15 heading outbound to 53 with heavy delays on the 290 extension all the way out to 53. Inbound Stevenson 52 from the Tri-State and the Ryans 22 from 95th. Bishop Ford's okay along with 57. Slow on the Tri-State though, especially Cermak to 290 and on 355 in Roosevelt, Lakeshore Drive. Also some buildup from Lawrence to Belmont. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
It's going to be partly sunny most of the day, but clouds move in later this afternoon and bring late-day sprinkles, a high near 86. Cloudy with scattered showers tonight, low 68, and then tomorrow mostly cloudy, more humid, with periodic showers and thunderstorms, a high near 77. It's 71 right now in Chicago. I'm Steve Grzanich in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and this is the stuff that matters on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to get off the bus at my grandmother's house. I don't know if you know this. And this would usually be playing. And Granny would have a sign on the door that would say, if the house is knocking, if the house is rocking, don't come knocking, because she loved Parliament. Crank this up. I don't want the audience to be disappointed that they're missing out.
How was George Clinton to taste?
George Clinton is good everywhere. He doesn't bog you down with complicated lyrics. He just brings the funk.
I have this image now of you getting off the bus listening to this with a big afro.
Yeah, I did have a big
70s,
afro. Yeah.
Your 70s leisure suit.
Yeah, but I never understood why Granny always told me to go to another house for a while. Never understood that part.
Do you have that cool dance move where it's one kick, one kick?
Yeah, exactly.
Roll the arms, you know. Kick back.
And occasionally, if the weather was right, I'd wear my ice blue leisure suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Pat Brady's here. Did you ever own a leisure suit?
No, I did not, but there's some bad pictures from the 70s.
Yeah, we did have bad
pictures. Steve's a lot older than I am, but...
2 weeks.
Yes, the 70s were... there are some bad pictures.
Jordan, you said we got a texter that thinks I'm not fair. Is that a summation of it?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that the question that's been asked, and I think it's a fair one, is that, you know, we're having a conversation about whether or not President Trump really truly is for himself or for the country. The pushback from that is that if you look at the policies that he's enacted or attempted to enact through Congress or through executive actions, he is following what would be a conservative policy agenda. And many people who voted for him or who may be on that side of the aisle feel that that is very American and that he is doing things for this country. So how do you discern between the personality that is the president and what the president is trying to do to move the country in a direction? And I think that there's a good conversation to have there about a lot of people may think that the decisions that he is making as a president for the good of the country are good.
Yeah, and he tapped into something. I mean, I was one that sat on the show for 2 years and said there's no way he can win, but he tapped into an anger that people have on trade and on no jobs and on certain aspects of foreign policy. He's not governing, I don't think, as a conservative. And certainly the statements he made in Helsinki, that's not what a conservative president would do. But there are a lot of people, and it was funny, I had some conversations with some people from northern Wisconsin yesterday that are really in the know, and they like somewhat what he's doing with the trade deals. It hurts soybeans, but it helps lumber and the potato.
And there's
markets.
A long game to it. He's trying to right the wrongs of the past.
Well, nah, you're going off the rails.
Yeah, I'm not sure if yeah, he has
there
a long,
is no
game,
long
but,
game.
But he's very. It's almost like he's a state or a member of Congress. He's very sensitive to the issue of the minute. And listen, we just saw the jobs numbers. We're going to get close to what 4% GDP. There's a lot of good things going on with the United States economy. I've always thought the president gets too little credit and too much too much credit and too much blame for the economy, but I think that there's an argument to be made. He's still at 46-47%, which is higher than any Republican.
He's at 90% for Republicans.
Yeah, but the Republican pie is getting a lot smaller because you can't do all the things he's done and appeal to independents, and that's the big question.
Look, the rest of us get to be selfish and go, look, I want what I want, and I'm sorry if it hurts somebody I don't know.
Right.
The President of the United States has to make decisions based on what's best for the country. This is the big problem I had with Obama too often. It was about being president of the Democrats, not being president of the United States. Donald Trump is president of Donald Trump. And everything you're describing as wins, while they may be good, and a lot of them are good, it's all about whether or not he has another win. Now, that's very political, and that's all politics. But the danger of the psyche of Donald Trump that goes along with it goes into everything we saw at this summit. And at what point does the danger he poses at the most powerful man on the planet become more important than the job numbers and the other stuff that's going on?
You know, the only way you can do that is in hindsight. We don't know what impact this is going to have.
You mean after the war?
Yeah. Well, we didn't. No, listen, when we were doing the impeachment with Clinton in the 90s, listen, I was all behind that. This is great. This is bad. He lied to the American people.
He should have been thrown out of office.
He should have been. But you know what? We weren't paying attention to Osama bin Laden.
Right.
And Al-Qaeda, and we ended up paying a price for it later on. So I don't know. But I think politically, the rubber meets the road in November. If we lose the House, a lot of these people that have stuck with him are not going to be sticking with him anymore. He's going to have problems. He's also going to have problems with, and Eric says this to his Democratic.
Eric Edelstein.
Do not, for Democrats, do not talk impeachment, but they are talking impeachment.
Peter Alexander will join us from NBC. We'll get the take firsthand up front, eyewitness from him as to what went on in Helsinki. And also what's happening today in Washington. You'll almost have to go minute by minute.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The Aspen Security Conference is on, and Peter Alexander from NBC is there. And Peter, I'll fawn over you for a second as well. The work you're doing is terrific, and I appreciate it.
What's going on? Good to talk to you, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate you jumping on. I also said I appreciate the work you're doing because it's not easy, and I think you're one of the best.
Hey, I'm a proud child of Chicagoans, diehard Cub fan, went to Northwestern, whole family's from there. So we're big WGN fans, so thanks for including me.
Are you a fan of Dave Ennett? I'm just curious, the voice of Northwestern football and basketball. Do you spend a
go
lot
Cats,
of time?
Baby. Oh, go Cats, baby. Go Cats. I was a classmate of Pat Fitzgerald, so yeah, no doubt.
Whatever happened to him? Did it work out for him?
Hey, he's doing okay.
Yeah, seems like he's all right.
All
right, a huge story in the Washington Post today that says, and for people who are wondering why John Brennan's so upset, Brennan and others who gave President-elect Trump a one-on-one breakdown of what we were dealing with and why we were sure, and this is in the fall of 2016, why we were sure that Russia was playing around with our election and had done everything we said we've done. That was the end of 2016, so well over a year and a half ago, Washington Post reporting that Trump's known it the whole time, and he certainly knew it this week in Helsinki. Does this story have any impact, or are we right where we've been?
I mean, you know, the bottom line is I think a lot of Americans were watching this, so no matter what the president says about how he performed there, Americans kind of saw it for themselves. You certainly were witnessing this. And the bottom line is even Republicans I've talked to said he just looked weak. He didn't look like an American president. He didn't look like, you know, the celebrated Republican president Ronald Reagan standing up, before that wall. The bottom line is I think there's new polling out that says independent voters by a 2-to-1 margin say the president was not tough enough in the way he spoke about Vladimir Putin. And he's only, I think, made his job more difficult, even in a series of interviews and comments he's made in recent days, trying to better clarify, trying to say that he was strong, against Putin, saying it was a success, saying that, you just saw what happened just yesterday. Yesterday, he was in one of those cabinet room events where the reporters are brought in, and at the end, he was asked whether Russia is still trying to attack the U.S., and he said no. Now, the White House says he wasn't saying no, that they weren't still trying to attack the U.S., which the intelligence community
widely believes. He didn't mean no,
believes.
He meant the other no.
Now, he was saying no. He was saying no, like no more questions. But, Steve, I've been in there a ton of times. He has never once said no, no more questions. And, in fact, after saying no there, he answered the next question.
Right, exactly.
So the bottom line is a lot of people are like, what's going on here?
The conference, of course, in Aspen will be a big intelligence gathering as people come together there. How is the intelligence community reacting to what has happened this week? More importantly, are they buying the rollback and the way that the president has clarified his position?
I mean, I think most of them are stunned by what they witnessed there. Obviously, as you've heard, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, was interviewed by my colleague Lester Holt here last evening. Among the things that the president said when he was overseas standing side by side with Vladimir Putin, that he was, that he thought it was an interesting, even an incredible offer by Vladimir Putin that he would sort of be part of a joint investigation where Russia would help the U.S. in its investigation into the election meddling. It's like someone breaks into your house and you're like, hey, why don't you come and help me solve the crime that you committed? The intelligence folks in particular thought that was crazy. Christopher Wray said that is not high on our list of investigative tactics right now. So, they're careful not to attack the president, but I think they certainly think that he is out of step with everybody else's thinking.
Reality? Is that the word you're looking for, Pat?
Sure. I'm being careful.
Go ahead.
Is this just lack of preparation or just lack of understanding? I think that's a question people ask me. How can you be this far off base?
I mean, you're right. That's the question people are asking. But it also sort of adds some smoke to this whole idea. It clouds this idea of like, so why would he be this way? Do they have something on President Trump? And nobody knows the answer to these things right now, but it certainly doesn't help the president's cause. What you notice, he's almost affectionate toward these strong men around the world. He praises President Xi of China, Kim Jong-un. He was so complimentary toward, even though he's an authoritarian dictator who, starves his people, kills his political enemies, including members of his own family. And you've seen the way he was toward Vladimir Putin, but there he was last week alongside America's allies at NATO. And while he says they came out and they're now putting billions and billions of dollars together, which they were already on track to do under the waning years of President Obama, he seemingly was so much tougher on those allies than he is on these others. It just continues to raise a lot of questions.
Peter, the Tom Perez is making the rounds from the DNC. Did the Democrats see this as an opportunity to build on an opportunity to win in the midterms?
The Democrats certainly have an opening, right? I mean, like, they're not going to have a much better opportunity than they have right now. There's obviously a lot of passion on the left right now. The president has only infuriated Democrats and has certainly made a lot of independents anxious about what they're seeing right now. The bottom line is does this translate? Does that passion really do enough in the midterms to make a difference? And then ultimately in 2020, what is the alternative? You know how this stuff goes. It's binary. It's Donald Trump or somebody else. And at the end of the day, this is going to be an election all about Donald Trump, I think. So we wait and see. The Democrats certainly are hoping to capitalize. Can they put a ticket together a few years from now? And for the midterms, can they have a message that's not simply anti-Trump?
Yeah, and by the way, that goes to everybody listening to this show, everybody watching NBC News. You got to vote. You got to vote. This is not an option. You got to go out and vote, including the people that want to vote for Donald Trump or Donald Trump's candidates in this case, because I'm pretty confident they're going to show up. If you don't believe, you got to get out and express your view. You can't just sit around and bitch. By the way, the Democrats have an exciting new slogan revealed yesterday. Even better than a new deal, the new slogan is "For the People." Oh, are the hats ready yet? Oh, fantastic.
Tell you what, they had some pretty good fundraising numbers.
The fundraising numbers are through the roof, but they couldn't be worse at marketing. All right, last question. I know you're going to be talking to Kristen Nielsen this afternoon, the DHS secretary. You can see it on NBCNews.com and obviously on the news as well, wherever you consume it. I've said this to Senator Durbin earlier. The greatest country in the world shouldn't be in the kidnapping business, and we ought to be able, with our science, technology, and talent, be able to determine who the child predators are and not hand kids back to them. What are we doing?
Well, that's one of the questions we're going to ask her, which is, you know, first of all, did you have any idea this policy was coming when it was announced by Jeff Sessions a couple of months ago? The White House, the administration seemed totally out of sync on this. They should have had some idea this was happening. You know, it's easy when you have a baby at the hospital, you put a bracelet on them and you identify them. It's clear. How do these kids get disseminated, dispersed all over the country? Why are there so many that are still trying to get together with their parents? What do you do about parents that have already been sent back home to their home countries, but the kids are stuck here? There's a new deadline you guys are likely aware of. It's 1 week from today. We're there by court mandate. They got to get 2,500 kids back together with their families. We'll ask Kirsten Nielsen whether they're going to meet that deadline. And frankly, I just want to get a sense from her when we speak, you know, what the images of children in those chain-like cages with children crying, whether it made her question, what are we doing here? What is this?
Yeah, that seems to be the question. I know you got to run, but Sandberg, last word.
Hey, Peter, I'm sure your family's playing along with us today, but we have a text question. What would be your dream chip flavor?
Yeah, what is your dream chip flavor?
My dream chip flavor.
Yeah, Lay's just came out with 8 different flavors of potato chip.
Oh, chip, we like were a gonna... potato chip. My bad, I was thinking like mint chocolate chip. Okay, that's where my head went.
Well, you know what? That's not a bad chip flavor.
That might be a good, I think that actually be a good strategy. My daughters and I would crush a bag of mint chocolate chip if you want to work on that.
All right, well, that's done. That's done. We'll see you this afternoon with Kristen Nielsen, NBCNews.com, and all over all the NBC platforms. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, guys, follow at Peter Alexander. I'll try to keep you posted what happened
today. Peter Alexander, I'm already on there. The rest of you get on there, too. And let's see, it's 8 o'clock. We'll come back with the news in a moment, and then Dean will enlighten us and entertain us. Pat, thank you. I mean, you're welcome to stay if you want, but, you know, you're a busy guy.
Well, you know, it's just always good to see Dave Ennett sitting right here.
Do you like Sandberg?
Well, I think Ennett today.
You like Justin?
I think Ennett. He got a couple nice plug there from the Northwestern stuff. I think I'm an Ennett guy today. Yeah. I'm fickle.
Yeah,
I'm not a Cochran guy, that's for sure.
No. Oh, that feedback. Remember, when the feedback sounds, that means Pat's time is up. News next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should.
It's time for Moron Entertainment. That's right, I said it. And Dean Richards joins us now. Dean, Lay's potato chips has 8 new flavors.
Oh, no, not these horrible flavors of potato chips again.
8 of them. Ugh. Chili con carne.
No, that doesn't sound bad.
That's made from parts of Art Carney. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Ralphie Boy.
Exactly. and we asked the listeners to chime in with potential chip flavors, but some of the others
Like cucumber and spam and like disgusting.
Here are the flavors: Cajun spice, Chesapeake crab bay spice.
Yuck.
Oh, I love that. I love those nuts. They make Chesapeake spice.
But when
nuts.
You open up your potato chip bag, potato do you want the ocean waft to come out?
Yeah. I picture that like, I don't know, anyone from Chicago will remember back in the day they used to have fish called alewives that would wash up on the beach. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't even walk on the beach because all the dead alewives were there. That's what I imagine those potato chips smelling like.
That's what they made them from. Deep dish pizza, speaking of Chicago, that's one of the flavors.
No, not on potato chips.
Fried pickles with ranch.
I would like that. I love fried pickles.
Ugh.
That was the morning show on B96, Fried Pickles with Ranch.
So eat a fried pickle. Why do you have to eat a chip? Yeah. I don't get this at all.
New England lobster roll.
Mm.
No.
Does it turn after a cut? Like if the bag of chips stays on the...
The chips actually come in a Texas toast folded over.
Does it turn? Does it get all fishy? Oh, yeah. I should have eaten this on Sunday, not Tuesday.
If you leave it out long enough, it tastes like the other one we just talked about. Pimento cheese and sweet Thai chili. Those are the other ones. Now, here's what the listeners are saying, Dean. Grilled cheese.
I would eat that.
That would be
good.
It's not a bad idea.
That's a good one.
Smoked lox and onion.
Disgusting.
Roast beef and horseradish.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm with
not
you.
Oh, there's Dean, another texter from the 815 says, how about a Greek gyro?
No, you know what? Some company, I don't know if it's the same company, they actually did have Gyros-flavored potato chips, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life.
More disgusting than this one from the 847? The chip flavor I'd like most is walleye shore lunch.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine when you open the bag?
That's what I'm saying. It just comes out of the bag. Kim Kardashian, Bruce Springsteen, Walmart, Chance the Rapper, all making news. We'll talk about all of it coming up. Speaking of Springsteen, I'm taking the family to New York next weekend. Could you maybe get me four up front for Springsteen?
Oh, yeah, free. No problem.
No problem.
Yeah. Hey, wait, you know what? I just happen to have some in my pocket.
Well, that's great, then. I'll just take those. And I don't know if you saw any of the ESPYs last night, but this Danica Patrick...
got quite a career as a stand-up comedian.
She actually was good, dude. She really was. I mean, the sketches were good. The stuff up front, I mean, a little clunky, but she's not a stand-up. But I was impressed by her. I liked her. Hello?
She going to be at the New Year's show?
Oh, there you go. Dean.
Danica and Dean?
Now, yeah, who goes first? Dean or Danica?
She'd have to open for
I'm
Dean.
I'm not coming on after her.
Yeah, no, Dean's closing. You didn't like her. I thought she was good.
I only saw a little clip of it, so maybe what I saw may have been out of context.
Yeah, that was good.
I think what I saw was posted was, you know, one of the super clunky moments, so maybe it wasn't representative of the whole thing.
I would invite you to go back and see the parody of I, Tanya, which I believe they called Me, Danica.
Yeah. That was very funny. I loved that.
That was very funny.
Hilarious.
All right, so we'll come back and we'll tell you more horrific chip flavors like pickled herring, candy cane, Chicago hot dog, and Greek gyro, discussed just moments ago.
Blech, blech, and blech.
And blech. That flavor just came in from the 847. More on entertainment brought to you by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
All right, back to Dean.
Does Steve have to take off his toe rings before he goes to get fittings? At New Balance Chicago.
They just seem to be clunking at the end. Yeah. It's the toe ring. He likes the toe jewelry. More chip flavors coming in. Pepperoni. Isn't there a pepperoni chip already? Somebody must have made that by now.
I found some, too.
Bacon and chive.
That sounds good.
It sounds like that's been done. 262 texter. I can't say this, but it's the most entertaining one I've seen all morning. There's just no way to clean it up. And Bloody Mary and cheese fry.
630's got a brand new one. Here's one. Orange juice and toothpaste.
To keep you from ever eating chips again. And Dean 815 says, Kim Kardashian, Walmart, Bruce Springsteen, are those chip flavors?
That would be a delightful flavor.
We're heading that way.
A Kim Kardashian flavored chip would be delightful.
All right, Chance is in the news. What did he do?
He yesterday said that he was not going to release a new album this week. He hasn't, but he did release four new songs overnight. One of them is called I May Need Security, which is a song that calls out Mayor Emanuel. He, as you know, he's quite critical of the mayor, not a fan, and calls him out in the song. But also in the song, he announces that he has purchased the now defunct news website, Chicagoist, and he's going to bring it back to life and make it what he says will be a viable news service, and mostly says that he bought it so he can shut down racists, and he wants to provide more diverse voices in the media.
Now, wait, he did that in a song?
Yeah.
There's a line or two. That,
sounds like a press release. I bought Chicagoist because I want to bring some bliss.
That's terrible.
Come on.
No, he did it in the song, and then real quick, they put out a press release, and it was confirmed by the owners, WNYC, out in public radio in New York. He did great. And he also, in the song, it's my favorite, He called out Rahm Emanuel. He served paid vacation to murderers. He said the Sun-Times got in that Rauner business, and then he announced he bought Chicago. So I'm like, that's a localist rap of all time. If you're a fan of Chance the Rapper living, I don't know, in London, you're like, yeah,
hyper-local. Hyper-local. Super hyper-local. He's going block by block.
I like the hyper-local jam.
Pete Zimmerman and Joe Romano, Dean, spent the last 40 hours trying to find anything clean enough to play on WGN. Joe, what did we finally come up with as far as a cut goes?
Quick cut from 65th and Ingleside.
Here you go, Grandma.
65th and Ingleside. Move downtown for a single life. None of my stars ever twinkle bright. Took all the sides to come bring your boy.
I got to tell you, I like Chance, but he was sort of the everybody can like him guy. This doesn't tell me everybody can like him anymore.
I think he's a tremendous artist, and his music, both his production and what he chooses to rap about, I just think he's one of a kind. And again, he wants to get into the media business for the right reasons. I think he wants to provide more diversity and diversity of thought and opinion. And
as long as it doesn't turn into I Hate White People, website.
No. That's not what Chance's thing is. I think Chance is about his city, where he comes from. I think he wants to point out inequities. And,
well, he's always been nice to you, Dean.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Do you think the mayor or the governor respond with a rap themselves?
Oh, that'd be great.
Chance?
The Rahm rap.
That would be good.
Next time the mayor's on, throw down some beats for him.
Yeah, just let him freestyle.
Yep.
All right, tell me about Kim Kardashian, because we never have a chance to bring the Kardashians up here.
We barely mentioned their names, yeah. But Kim yesterday released a new line of perfumes, and in 5 minutes' time, without a single bit of advertising, sold $5 million worth of perfume in 5 minutes. Steve, that comes out to $1 million a minute.
That's a lot of perfume, Dean. That's a lot of perfume and a lot of elevators you don't want to be in.
Maybe these could be potato chip flavors, but one of the fragrances is called Kimoji Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Another is called Kimoji Peach.
How about Used Up Party Girl or Sex Tape? Are any of those in there?
That doesn't sound very appetizing.
No,
and Kimoji Vibes, they sell for $45 a piece. $5 million in 5 minutes?
That's pretty good. There is another scent that was just released, Dean, just seconds ago while you were talking. It's called What the Hell Was I Thinking? And she was wearing that when she married Kanye.
Oh, you think, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Golly.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
I'm just reading the news. I'm just reporting the news as it's been reported to me.
I'm not going to let that
slide. And her selling all that perfume is overshadowing the story of Kylie Jenner showing a picture of Stormy with her ears pierced.
Stormy Daniels?
Her baby, Stormy.
Oh, that Stormy.
People always get outraged when babies have their ears pierced, but that's I think it's cute.
Yeah.
Dean, do you have your ears pierced?
I have nothing pierced, no.
Would it all close up on you?
That you know of.
Bruce Springsteen on Broadway is taking that show and putting it on Netflix, huh?
The show's going to be closing in December, so they filmed it last week and should be on a Netflix near you very soon. Speaking of video streaming services like Netflix, Walmart announced this morning that they're starting a streaming service to compete with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu.
Well, they got the money.
All the rest. I don't know. What do you
put
on there?
But, Dean, are they going to have their own content?
Yeah, fishing stuff.
They haven't said yet. They haven't said whether it's going to be. I do know that it'll be hosted by an 80-year-old man wearing a vest when you...
It was very pleasant.
And that little...
Welcome to the store.
That little smiley face that's in all the rollback smiley face.
It seems like streaming services where the money's at. Everyone's going to have their own streaming
service. There's one show that is just a rotary bag holder that just spins around while you wait for, they load up your stuff. What are your plans after this segment? You got anything going on?
Today on the show?
I mean, just in general.
I'm going to look for potato chip flavors. Mm-hmm, that's going to be something.
And you'll text those in on burner phone so we won't know it's you?
Well, no. I actually found some that they sell in Europe. These apparently are very popular in Europe. Chicken and thyme. Chicken and thyme flavored.
T-H-Y-M-E.
Right. Ham and mustard potato chips.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound bad, actually.
No, because you got your salt in your ham, and the ham and mustard will make sure the heart attack
kicks in. How about seaweed flavored?
How about no?
Seaweed is
That's what Orion just told us about on Tuesday.
Kelp and kale.
Seaweed.
I remember 20 years ago being in London. They're all about the vinegar chips. That's his thing. They're just all over them.
Cucumber chips, very popular in Japan.
No, I don't think we need that either. How about bologna? You got bologna or head cheese?
I'm full of bologna.
No, but a texter is suggesting a mom's meatloaf chip.
Mom! Meatloaf!
There's a fried sausage potato chip, Steve, that's very popular in Ukraine.
Oh, well, that's nice. I'm sorry, that's just been taken over by Vladimir Putin, and it's gotten the approval of Donald Trump. It's not his favorite chip.
And I would say no matter what anyone texts into, nothing will be more disgusting than one that's very popular in the U.K., haggis and cracked black pepper potato chips.
It's the worst idea ever.
Have they come up with an Asian carp?
Crisp. They're actually called crisps there. They're not.
Asian carp would be an improvement on haggis and black pepper. Yeah. So, all right, Dean, thank you for the work you're doing, whatever it is.
Steve, thank you very, very much. Very much appreciate it.
Appreciate you being on Moron
not
Entertainment.
As much as I appreciate
No, I appreciate
being
it.
Part of
Moron Entertainment, sponsored by a brand new Smile Dental Implant Center. And to the newsroom we go, sponsored by the Steve Cochran Show and his good friend Chance the Rapper. The reason we're playing his music is because every once in a while I just like to do the Charleston.
Look at you go. Your knee looks fully healed.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Lupo. Sponsored by Wolf's Flea Market. Introduce our guest, Justin.
All right. It's time for the Swap Meet with Greg Flam at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. Greg is a picker. He can tell you what your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk. What I like, your crawlspace junk.
You know, the thing is,
that growing up.
I always wondered if it would be better to pronounce your last name as Flam because of the Flim Flam Man thing.
Yeah, isn't that weird how the business I'm in with that, right?
Yeah,
right.
You'd be the Flim Flam?
The Flim Flam.
Look at this.
That
look at this.
Be, yeah, Twitter handle. So 312-981-7200 if you want to get in. We've had a great couple weeks doing this.
Segment. I had that phone.
Yep.
And yeah, Greg brings stuff in for us to look at. And, of course, the 80s. First cellular phones.
The Motorola brick.
The brick. Yep.
Yeah.
It's literally the size of a full brick. Before you do that, Mary, what's going on?
Oh, no. We're just busy cleaning out my mom's apartment.
Oh, no. I thought you had a traffic break. All right. Hold on.
No. Yeah. No, I want to hear what Mary says. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one sec. All right. So let's explain the Wolf's situation here. The fine people at Wolf's love you. Yep. And they wanted to be a part of this. So thank you to Wolf's at Wolf's Flea Market. Yep. When are you out there?
I've been Palatine every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 4. And sometimes I'll go to Rosemont before
the Allstate Arena parking lot.
Allstate Arena.
Which I was out there on Sunday, and we did a Facebook Live, did a whole thing. I was blown away at how many people. They were talking about 10,000, was it? What was the number of people that come through there on a given morning?
Yeah, about 10,000. There can be anywhere from 600 to 750 vendors.
And it was super hot. Yeah. It was like 90 degrees or whatever, and there were still shoulder-to-shoulder people buying stuff.
That's the flam.
That's
the flam effect.
And that's how Don says. This is a religion for some people. I mean, they're there every Sunday. And
Steve, you like this. They get up at, they open at 2 a.m.
Yep, you can shop with flashlights.
So you can go there at 2 a.m.?
And shop with flashlights.
Shop with flashlights.
Yeah, you pay a little extra, maybe hysterical. $5 to get in instead of two.
Mary Vandeveld, what do you got?
Well, I was just, we're cleaning out my mom's apartment.
Sure.
She recently passed, and we're coming across so many, you know, old things, and she has a lot of old books, and how do you check about old books? Are they mostly junk, or should you
just have to look them up? A lot of
where do you look them up?
Value.
Yeah,
you can look them up on eBay, or I'm sure there's other websites you can look them up.
Like for books.
Yeah, and there's the ISDN number you can look it up by, and usually the edition makes the value if it's first edition.
The edition and the quality?
Yeah.
And so if you Google the publisher or the date and various other things?
Exactly.
Okay. I would think, Mary Vandeveld, that would be an interesting process because there's emotion tied to it as well. But then aren't you kind of hoping for a lottery ticket in the middle of all that stuff?
No, I don't know. But, you have your sisters going through everything with you, your brothers, and they're like, oh, that's junk. Just throw it away. And I'm like, no.
Right.
That's a really old book, and it looks cool. So I put them all aside, and I think I'm going to just look them up slowly and see if they're first edition, all that. And I did come across a website. I can't remember remember the name of it, but a Biblio or something.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
There are, you know, this is one of life's great questions, and that is, after I die, is anybody going to care about my crap?
That's a great question.
You know, I'm not a hoarder, but I have saved a lot of things through the years. And I was talking the other day about this. I guess my brother was here because my brother wants me to throw out everything. I would like there to be a few things that my kids would want to keep, or that Abigail or any of the grandchildren that come down the road would want to keep. But maybe that's just me.
But what are the things? What is the
hats.
One thing?
His hat collection.
No, my hat.
Really? But Steve, we always tell listeners to call in. Listeners call in. What would you, if you had to move, what do you take with you? And that's really the question, because as Mary is noticing here, there's some stuff that quickly family members will be like, oh, we got to get rid of it.
Well, what do you keep? Photos are obvious, but I would like the kids to have, you know, a record of what I did in life, because it's a unique opportunity. You know, you can actually hear the voice.
Like the picture of you in the leisure suit and the apron.
Yeah, the one time where I lost a bet to Spike and I had to dress and drag. These are the proud things that I'd like to share.
Right. Talking to estate sale companies, they will tell you, like, the kids just don't want mom or grandma's stuff. They don't want the china. They don't even want the silverware. They're just not interested in
the estate sale put it on, right?
Nobody does china anymore.
Yeah, I guess all I'd say is for kids to lie to your elders for as long as possible.
We are not getting rid of the china.
But you see that all the time, though, Greg, is that they will undervalue things because they want to get rid of them. Estate sale will say $5
for
whatever's in this box.
The third or fourth day of an estate sale, I'll still see the china and the silver there. I mean, it's just because, you know, it just doesn't have the value or the keepsake memory that it used to have. Hmm. And Mary, I will say, when you're looking through the books, flip through the pages, a lot of people store money in the pages. So,
oh, how about that?
Yeah.
All right, now great memories for the brick, because when cell phones first came out, and the only thing they were good for is to pretend you were cool,
right?
And call somebody and go, I'm in the car! That's what you did with these. I can't believe how heavy this thing is.
Yeah.
And I held it up to my head. It's a radiation emitter. And you just hold it up to your head for hours.
What are those going for?
And that one there goes for about $120.
What?
Yeah.
And it's just an old phone.
Yeah. And if you have all the accessories and, like, brand new in the box, like it can go upwards of $1,000. Yeah. Right. I'm missing the antenna on that one.
I miss these because they curve out for your face,
right.
So your cheek can't hang up on you, which sometimes on the flat phones,
you know? Well, it's funny about that keyboard. The buttons there were so stiff, you'd have to pound on them just to make sure you could dial a number.
Can't do that while driving, right?
There you go.
What else you got?
Oh, and I have this old, miner's carbide lamp.
Oh, like the real deal. Like the thing they'd wear on their
1910.
Is that the thing they'd screw on a helmet?
Yeah, they would attach it here on their helmet or band, and it would stay lit. They'd put the fuel in this thing on screws. And it's about an $80 item, but for a buck at a garage sale.
Imagine that. You're in a mine, you're miles down, and you're wearing fuel on top of your head.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
All right, 312-981-7200. Call. The line's already lit up. We got Matt, we got Jim, we got other people. You still can get in. We could take this break, and then let's get to some of these calls.
And let's see what you have and what it's worth. And let's see if Mr. Flam agrees. In the meantime, do you have a favorite chip flavor you'd like to chime in on?
I like the loaded baked potato from previous ones I've tried. I don't know if it's with this company now that's doing it.
How about Taco Bell and weed?
No.
815, I'm upset Lay's got rid of the BLT flavor.
That was a good flavor.
It was a good flavor.
It was good?
Yeah.
I'm partial to the wings flavors. They've been trying to find a chip that tastes like a buffalo wing.
I haven't. They make them, but I haven't tried them because I think they're going to make my hands grease, like messy like a wing. But
key lime pie is one of the great desserts of all time. I don't need it in a chip.
Yeah. Salty key lime pie.
Yeah, no. Worcester sauce? Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire. I think that will be delicious because when I make homemade Chex Mix, that's what you use, butter and Worcestershire. So I would like those.
Tootsie Roll? Tootsie Roll is a suggested flavor. Sauerkraut. No. How about a dirty vodka martini and blue cheese olive?
Oh, my dad drinks those every day.
Well, now he can get them in a chip. It's just personal.
He could eat and drink at the same time.
Tomato soup, single malt scotch. Got a lot of alcoholics listening this morning. a chip covered in that nasty fake Cheeto or Kraft orange powered cheese that's really salty. We just call it the Trump or MAGA. Kim Kardashian's butt. I don't think that's necessary. Mom's meatloaf, you mentioned. 630, another Trump flavor. Diet Coke with a hint of borscht. 815, beer. Any beer flavor. 847, potato pancake with applesauce. 815, bratwurst and grilled onions.
That would be good.
Mm-hmm. And then 847, roadkill with just a hint of asphalt. All good by you people. Get it done. One last 708 says, Steve, chips are meant to accompany food, not taste like it. Stop it. Coming back with Greg. What do you want to try to get a value on? 312-981-7200. Greg Clamp's here, and if you listen to Justin to the Download for since the 60s when he started it.
60s, yeah.
Regular guest, regular, and a good friend. Greg Clamp, where do people follow you and stay in touch with you?
DuPage Picker on Facebook is the best way. You can send pictures if you want me to evaluate something that might take longer than the show. And message me for, I do eBay tutoring, guitar lessons, all kinds of stuff on there. So.
Busy guy.
Yeah.
Matt's from Lombard. Matt, go ahead.
How you doing, Greg?
Hey, Matt.
I'm hoping you know what right. this is. I got a factory-sealed Marvel World playset made by AMSCO back in the 70s. It came out. From my research, it's pretty rare, but to try to find an accurate value, I'm not sure.
Did you get it back in the 70s and you just kept it sealed?
Nope. I was fortunate enough to find it at a garage sale.
Wow, sealed, wow. too.
Well, AMSCO, I don't know a value on that, but some of the Marvel playsets can be $350 and up. So, and I'm thinking since you're sealed, and if this AMSCO name means much, it could be much higher than that.
Well, the one thing I found is it went one went up for auction at one of the auction houses a few months ago, and it sold for like $2,600. But now that there's one left. I don't know if that's same value.
Well, it can't
more
be
value.
Bad.
Yeah,
can't
and
be bad.
They're sealed.
Yeah, obviously that's a good deal.
Let's go to Jim in Oak Lawn, and Jim has some life advice. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Steve and Greg. How are you guys doing today?
Hey there.
Good.
Good. I own a consignment shop in Orland Park, and every Magnolia Design and Consign, and every day I have people coming in saying, I have my kids. My kids do not want the collectibles, the Hummels, the Adros,
right.
the China, everything. But I get things across my shop every day. But I have a 1930s radio, stand up radio.
Ah, cool.
And someone asked me the other day, is it worth it for me to fix it? It works. It works. I'm afraid to plug it in because of the wiring, but it works, is what the consigner said. But someone else wanted to tear the guts out of it, make a wine rack out of it, and paint it.
Yep.
Wow.
We get that all the time, right?
Yeah, the stand-up radios, because they weigh so much, they're hard to move, they're a hard seller. You almost always have to do, if you do sell it online, you have to do local pickup because of the weight. So they are,
it's a cool item, though, right?
Yeah, and it's great to, upcycle or recycle them into something else if that's what will
move. Who's
it.
Looking for that stuff is Wendy Snyder.
Yeah, she collects it.
Yeah, after
radios,
after the last time we did the segment, she said, I'm big into the old radios.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tom is with us. Tom, what do you have?
Are you looking for Tom?
Yeah, this is Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Okay, here I am. I got, it looks like three phones here. One is so dinky, it's a flip-top Samsung.
Okay.
And it's AT&T U2800.
Yeah, no, the numbers won't help, but you got an old flip phone there. What else do you have?
It looks like I got a couple of... Well, they're bigger ones like that, but
they're all phones.
Yeah,
are we at the point, though? Thanks, Tom. Are we at the point where flip phones and early technology, cell phone technology, beyond what we have here, the brick, is worth anything?
Really, the brick is the only one that has the large value. Most of the other ones are, like the Samsung you mentioned, is a $4 phone, maybe.
Here's the thing. I based on the last caller as well, and your phones or whatever you have, it seems to me that instead of waiting to die and finding out your kids are selling all your crap, sell your crap before you die and keep the money.
Right. Yeah. Huh? Use it to buy something.
There's something to be said about that. Someone in tech said the same thing. They work for estate sales, and more often than not, what happens is kids go, I'm not interested in what my parents collected, and it ends up in the landfill.
Exactly.
Let me get one more in here. Linda had a book question as well. What was the book website we talked about? Biblio?
Biblio, yeah.
Yeah, yes, Biblio. And Mary in Southern Illinois. What do you have, Mary?
Hi. I have a pachinko machine.
Pachinko?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
What is a pachinko machine?
It's kind of like an early vertical pinball machine.
A smaller version of a Plinko.
Dave, you know this? You've got it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have one, but I've...
I've played that.
How much are you willing to offer Mary for her pachinko machine, Dave?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen a pachinko machine in so long, but that was back in the 40s, Steve. Mm-hmm. Everybody's rec room had a pachinko machine.
And when Glenn Miller and the big band were playing, you'd be able to play pachinko?
You could play pachinko. It had a lever on the right. Right, Mary? I mean, you pull down the lever, the ball shoots up, and it works its way down this maze of bumpers, and then you try to...
There's an app for that now, I hope.
I forget what the goal is.
Right. Probably get more points. What's it worth?
Yeah, just lots of lights and lots of... different things that happen.
Shines.
Right. If it's working cool. Great condition, it could be anywhere from 500 and 1,000. Nice. I see them almost every week nowadays.
You do?
At estate sales. At least once a week, I'll see one in a basement somewhere.
Nice. Very nice. Good find, Mary.
There you go.
What is the Holy Grail? What are you looking for right now?
Myself, I'm more like music memorabilia, guitars, old toys. Growing up, I was the guy who would circle everything in the wish book and didn't get it. So now I'd like to say I had at least for a week before I sold it. So that's the
so you're just trying to make good on all the Sears damage you had as a child.
Right. The Sears wish book and everything, which is odd that Amazon's coming out with a wish book now. So.
And when are you going to be at Wolf's again?
I'll be there Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 4, Palatine, Rand Road.
All right. And thanks to Wolf's as well, Wolf's Flea Market, sponsoring our swap shop. Hold that phone up because CLTV just joined us. There you go, CLTV you go. Types. Take a look at that. That brick.
And if you want to sell this, put Zach Morris in your keywords.
There you go.
Help sell it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Greg.
That's Greg Flam. Not Flim Flam. That's Greg Flam. And got the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Camp's on tomorrow, as you said. Yeah. Camp's open today. Today?
My favorite day.
Yes,
camp,
today.
Is camp open today and practice starts on Saturday?
They just unpack.
Practice.
They unpack. They pick up their kits, their orientation kits. Right.
You stop into the dorm.
Yes.
You get your keys. You meet your roommate. Right.
Mm-hmm. Find out who your RA is.
Yeah, they have orientation day and the parents are told to leave by 5.
Right. A lot of tearful goodbyes in the parking lot. But they check in today. They have a meeting. The coach Matt Nagy, the general manager Ryan Pace meet the media, some of the players, Mitch Trubisky, some other players will address the media. They have their first practice tomorrow morning. They have their first open practice on Saturday.
Oh.
And I believe their first practice in pads is on Sunday.
And their first bit of hitting will be week 3 in the regular season.
This is my favorite day of all the whole football season, because this is the day that you see the athletes showing up in their cool cars they got, or the dumb story where he's still driving the Toyota Celica. Look at him. He said he was never going to spend a dollar, and here
Mitch
he is.
Mitch Trubisky.
That was Mitch.
Yeah, it was a trip, whatever. But it's always one or two players that are like, nah, I'm humble. See my Honda?
Is he updated the vehicle? Mitch?
He's
still driving Grandma's car? But how's Grandma getting around if he took her car?
I don't know. Steve.
Get your best people on this, Dave.
I haven't seen his car lately. I haven't checked it out.
Yeah, today's the day. Or they come in with a cool like scooter. Or they unpack their huge widescreen TV.
I think Dave's not revealing it because there's some sort of sports like HIPAA law where about sports, but you're not allowed to say it.
That is true.
So there's certain things between an athlete and an NFT that can't be revealed.
We know where players live. Yeah. You don't want to go on the air and announce their address.
That's why when I gave out Michael Jordan's cell phone number, he never calls anymore.
I guess not.
Yeah. A couple other things going on in the world. Jeff Goldblum, a 25-foot statue of Jeff, has been erected in the middle of London as a celebration for the Jurassic Park return. I'm so lost on this. Didn't that movie come out months ago?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's coming out.
Of course, in London, they get it later.
Maybe they got it later. Maybe that's possible, yeah.
A 25-foot Jeff Goldblum, do you need that?
Is that a temporary statue, or is it going to be there for...
No, I think, movie promotion.
Well, in London, statues are like honorary street signs to Chicago, so they just put them up everywhere.
So, everybody can get one?
Everyone's
got one.
Why
not a dinosaur? Why him?
Yeah, right.
I don't get it.
Well, it sort of looks like a dinosaur, right?
Let me a little bit. Looks like a fly. Well, where'd that come from?
Amazon Day. How much money was made on Amazon Prime Day? $4 billion is the estimate.
Wow.
And you're the only one that hates Amazon.
I don't hate Amazon. I felt it was just a blatant promotion for a store. Amazon is the new store, so why are we doing news stories about their sale?
We're hoping that Jeff Bezos gives us something for free.
One last question. How much are the cherries? Who cares? I mean, at a certain point, like, they're making their money.
Though Justin revealed, as we, Dave and I both did, we got our $10 credit by going to Whole Foods.
But I didn't get it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, but you tried.
No, I went to Whole Foods. I had to stop over there.
Bezos will have you killed.
And I could have, if I had the app on my phone, I would have got a $10 discount.
You didn't get the app?
I don't have the app, so I was not
fan. And I didn't get it. My wife has the app.
I don't want your
But I also app. Only bought a box of dried cranberries for $4.99.
You know, but you just had to scan it, and you get the $10 credit on Amazon. Yeah, but,
Sam,
it didn't matter
Sam,
what you purchased.
Downloading an app is so much work.
So that's I could have gotten in for her.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, guys.
Sacred space.
I got the $10.
Is it Bezos or Bezos? I keep calling him Bezos. $4.2 billion on Prime Day. And as I said to you before, if you have a store that makes $4.2 billion called the store that made $4.2 billion, I'd be talking about it.
How did Kmart do this week? Did they do well?
Don't know. They made $4.
Walmart started streaming. Is that a new story about?
Yeah, you're right.
A store.
They got pressed today. That's probably why they're doing it.
I'm now going to call Justin out every time we do a new story about a store.
It'll pale in comparison to the massive coverage of Amazon Prime Day.
You know, Jeff Bezos and Jeff Bezos are both upset with you. Here's the best story of the day. The boys from Thailand who were stuck in that cave are home and slept in their own beds for the first time last night. Rising to take part in joint and separate religious ceremonies. The 12 boys aged 11 to 16 and their 25-year-old coach were discharged from the hospital on Wednesday. And they did make their first public appearance after they'd done some private gatherings that you may have seen on TV. So not totally private. But during a national TV broadcast, they smiled, joked, and showed solidarity. And they are linked for life. No matter what they do in life, they're always going to be that group.
Steve, I just got a text from your mom. Justin doesn't know your mom yet, I don't think, but Anne, she's very funny. We had asked her for her open picks, and she said, "Hi, Mary, forgot
balls in the air at 7 a.m., Mom."
She said, "I forgot to answer this yesterday. You have more than enough picks without my input on this anyway." She said, "I will play by myself, and when the winner is determined, I will say that's who I chose."
She's right.
So, that's smart.
Yeah. So Mom, that's smart.
That's what I should have done.
I love because not a lot of people can say no to Steve, but Anne is one.
I wanted my mom to write a blog for the show like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I said, she's a really good writer, really good writer. And I said, people would like it, you know, life perspective, whatever. Still write it about me, just write it about stuff you're interested in. And she seemed, you know, interested in the beginning, and then she couldn't turn it down fast enough after that. Ah, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
That's a lot of work.
Go on, Mom, if maybe, you know, I choose what people like and you help.
I love
write
giving,
the blog.
I love you're giving work opportunities to your mom.
Right, right. Paid, free.
Yeah, free,
like an
free
intern
work.
For
this
you.
Would be great for you. Do 400 words a day.
Right. Is that the only reason you two show up? Because of the incredible money you're making here?
Yes.
It's 9:19. Let's come back and do more of what this is, the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 1187, unless you're counting the new shows in this building, which means this is show number 18, unless you're counting the new shows in the studio. Which means this is show number 6. And we're back with more of that in 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Our friends at Chicago Magazine have their annual top 50 Chicago restaurants list out. Portillo's did not make the list. You know why? I'll be honest. I'll tell you why. It's that damn drive-thru that they keep you kidnapped in.
Who's number one on that list? Do you have it?
Yeah, but before we get to that, let's build the suspense.
Justin doesn't have time for that.
I don't have time. I know this is a fast show. The pace is fast.
I just wonder who on the show is pretentious enough to have eaten at most of these restaurants.
I'll bet you I've eaten at
You may
a lot
be the most
those.
Pretentious.
I'm the most pretentious.
Rainbow Thai?
Rainbow Thai?
Rainbow Thai.
I bet
it's the number one restaurant.
No. It's number 50.
No, I don't know Rainbow Thai.
Purple Pig used to be across the street
That's
from us in the
place.
Old place. Yes,
yeah, I love Purple Pig.
Yeah. I'll jump around here. Restaurant I don't know. Parachute at number 47.
Oh, that place is
really
awesome.
Amazing.
That place is in Albany.
So we're 3 for 3 on that?
Yep. Beverly Kim, yep.
All right, how about Smoke at 46?
Yes. Yep.
Those are great.
Been there.
Tell me when you haven't eaten that when I get to it.
Okay.
Let's see. King Zhang Yuan Dumplings?
Have not been there.
Nope. Looks great. That came in at number 42, by the way.
I'd take an order of those right now.
No kidding. 39, Acadia?
Yeah.
I have not been to Acadia, but.
You have?
I liked Acadia.
I've been to the one next to the dumplings.
What is that?
Number 41.
It's called Next to the Dumplings?
No. Number 41.
Swift and Sons.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good.
I go to Cold Storage, which is right next door.
36, Cellar Door Provisions?
That I have not been to, but that is a well-respected place.
Chicago Magazine's top 50 restaurants. We'll get to number one, I promise. Let's see. Number 32, Tanta?
Or
is it Tanta?
Tanta.
Tanta.
It's really good. I suggest everyone go there. It's amazing.
What's the cuisine?
Like Spanish, like fusion-y.
It's like Spanish fusion with peanut butter and jelly.
It draws on Peru's multicultural
it's off the top of the head, dude.
Japanese and Chinese mixed in.
Well, Spanish Asian.
That's where the fusion.
Spanish Asian.
Fusion. I said the word fusion.
Yeah. It was fusion.
No, yeah. I was just clarifying.
Oh, yeah. No, I was clarifying to Steve.
Okay. You see, I'm just trying to help. 31's Monteverde.
Yeah Monteverde. I've not been.
That's in my neighborhood. That's a great place.
How about 29 Big Jones?
Big Jones is Big Jones is a barbecue.
Looks like a southern fried chicken situation going on here, maybe.
I take an order of that, too.
27. Hey, we finally got to a restaurant I've gone to many times. 27, RPM Steak.
I've never been there.
Went there for my birthday.
Yeah, it's great.
And I saw, when I was there for my birthday, we saw Mark Carman and his girlfriend there.
Called Carms from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Harmon.
Yeah. Well, for a minute there, I was going,
Mark Harmon.
For a minute there, I was going, Mark Carman.
Summer school? Cool.
Mark Carman.
Mark Carman, his girlfriend, and then some very tall bull player that Mark's girlfriend said Mark was so distracted the whole meal because he was just staring. It was Mikovic or Mirovic?
Mirotic. Yeah, he is definitely a basketball rookie.
So,
26, Coal Fire for pizza.
I've been there.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. It's one near Wrigley Field. Really good.
Okay, Sky for pizza at 24.
Sky.
S period K period Y. Mm-hmm. Sepia at 23.
Oh, I love Sepia.
And what do they do? Oh, you would love it. You know why? Girl food, tiny little artistic entrees.
That place, Chef Zimmerman there, he's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I had him as a guest one time on Download. I really liked his style. I was like, I was throwing it back at how sarcastic and funny.
Have you been there?
Yeah, it's good.
It's one of those menus that
where'd you go after to eat?
No.
You can get a lot of.
I got a pork chop there. I remember it was really, really good.
The scallops are really good when they have them.
It's expensive, but it's good.
22 Kaizen for sushi.
Yes, that is a great call on Chicago Avenue, correct?
Sure.
Yeah, that place is good because it's moderately priced, but it's really, really good.
21 Giant. I don't know this.
Giant is great. Giant is in Logan Square.
That's, was it American? What is it?
No, it's American, and it's Chef Vincent. We had Chef... Is it Chef Vincent, right? Yeah.
He is was it on the Fusion? Because Sandberg's big on Fusion.
It's not, but it's a hot spot. It's right in Logan Square. It's like the hot spot.
19, The Publican?
Yeah. That's cool.
No, you guys don't seem too excited about that.
No, unfortunately, when in this
it's been around
town,
a while.
It's been around. It's one of the staples that it gets overshadowed by the new places.
17, La Chaparrita.
No, but it sounds like something I'd like.
Yeah.
Where is it at?
I have to click on it to find out what it is.
Well, I'll leave Dave.
It's in Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
Yeah, it's in Chicago.
I'm going to click on it. I'll click.
16, Momotaro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Asian, I assume?
Yeah, it's sushi. It's like famous.
14's Fat Race. Did we have the Fat Race chef in here?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
They won the James Beard, didn't they?
Fat Rice.
Have you ever won a James Beard?
I've won two.
You have?
Thanks for calling
that
out.
Crazy.
He was telling us an incredible story about his James Beard Award acceptance speech.
Yeah. I'm on the list at the James Beards because of my sarcastic acceptance speech in 2001.
Hey, mister, everything's not a joke. Number 10, Blackbird. Number 9, Boca. Number 8, Goosefoot. Thoughts?
All good. I've not been to Goosefoot.
You really have been to almost all of these.
I like to eat. Does anybody cook anymore?
But I'm just thinking how much it must have cost you to go to all of these restaurants.
I made salmon on Tuesday.
Number 7, I made salmon on Tuesday. That's the restaurant. 7, George Trois, T-R-O-I-S, my French not so great.
Trois.
When I do the fake Spanish or French accent, it's great.
You would have nailed it.
You would have nailed
6, another one that's been around a long time, but I've never had a bad meal there. Spiaggia.
Right.
Yeah. Same for number 5, Topolobampo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is torture.
The whole show is on all food.
I don't know. Number 4, Schwa. Is that next to Schwing?
That is an amazing dining experience where like the chef comes out and might have a drink with you. It's wild.
What do they serve at Schwa?
Because
the picture I'm looking at here looks like stuff that fell on the floor.
It's
what he makes that night, but it's all current.
Is he the guy who does news here on Sundays?
Yeah, Schwa, Dave Schwa.
Dave Schwa.
Yeah, that's him.
It's Schwa's restaurant.
Number 3, Lula Cafe.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That made it to top 3, huh?
Why are you surprised?
Another Logan Square staple that has been there forever, and congratulations for them making the top 5. That's a good place.
Does your wife and her husband go out together ever? Because you two should just get
it. It is a big part of our life. I feel like I'm at restaurants, and not as much recently because of the show and everything, but I think
now that you're not working at night,
I feel like I'm running out of excuses.
5 p.m.
Number 2, Oriole.
Yes, yeah. I was going to wonder if that was going to make the top five.
And does anyone know number one? It's an obvious one that you haven't heard
far. Yeah, Grant Atkins.
That's exactly right. Alinea at number one.
Alinea, have you been to Alinea?
Timberlake.
Have I been to Alinea? I've not.
You should go there just for the experience because it is expensive. And I did the wine pairing flight, which made it more expensive. I mean, you're dropping $1,000.
Justin's showing off how much he spent it.
No, I there was a bonus involved.
You may be making too much money. Remind me of that after the show. He may be making too much money.
I was not casually going to this restaurant. This was like something where we had it. They were like, do we fix the furnace or do we go to Alinea? But the experience, the way they do the courses, the way that it was not a restaurant. It was a show. And because of that, you understand why it costs so much to go.
We talked about Justin Timberlake was there when he did a show in, you know, whenever he was just here, like 6 months ago, and he was Instagram storing all the experiences.
It's pretty great. They cook the food on the table in some forms. Like the dessert is, you have to do it, Steve. You should do it.
Actually, just for the experience. Steve, pack a sandwich with you to take with you because.
Is that another one of those? Where do I stop on the way home?
It's one of those little bitty.
And I'll remind you, I still have what I believe to be the greatest restaurant idea in Chicago. It's not going to make a top 50 list, but it's going to be very busy all the time. It's called First Dates. And First Dates is a restaurant which is largely female clientele. Where they go after the date they didn't eat on their first date because they're super hungry on the way home. And it's just a buffet, baby. First dates. Tell me, who's in? Who's investing?
I'm in.
Okay.
I'll Venmo you.
Yeah, Venmo this.
$15.
Let's come back, get you the headlines just a moment on 720 WGN.
You better wise up, because we need a plan.
Need a plan.
Those folks at Pearl know what to do. You better call now.
You better call now.
And get that Hochberg man. What he says we know is true.
Call him now. Call him now. That's what to do.
You can ask him right now.
A lot of people are wondering what John DeCoste got from David Hochberg to write and perform that song. Is that something you can reveal, or would you have to kill me, David Hochberg?
John has already talked about it. He's got a 100-point increase in his credit score, and we saved him about $4,000 a month.
You sold toys. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's really important.
He did it himself.
Let's talk about what's really important. Do you like potato chips?
I love who does. What kind of question is that? This body was built on potato chips.
So Lay's has 8 new flavors, and a lot of them are pretty repulsive.
What's your definition of repulsive?
What was the lobster roll?
Yeah.
Other than that.
Fried pickle.
There was a
New England chili con carne.
New England crab fest or something. It was not good. Anyway, text question was, give us a new chip flavor you'd like to see.
Okay.
708, cuttlefish. No, not so much.
I'll take a pass on that.
847, Pepto-Bismol. I guess after you have all the other ones.
Depends, right? Yeah. At the right time, right moment, maybe.
Depends is not a flavor.
Exactly.
Fancy Feast White Meat Chicken Florentine. Now if it's a slow day.
Yeah, cat food flavored. I'd do that.
Doritos flavored potato chips.
That's great.
Nice. That's a funny idea.
That's good.
Nothing wrong with that. Peanut butter on plain Ruffles. Could they do that?
I'm in. Peanut butter on anything.
Yeah, peanut butter's good.
Chunky peanut butter with a spoon.
Yeah.
I wanted to create a spoon that had an indent for the center where you scoop it, but it's got a cap. Mm-hmm. And then after you scoop it with peanut butter, you take the cap off, then you squirt peanut butter in there. you squirt jelly in there, and then you got a peanut butter jelly sandwich on a spoon.
So it's a lot of work.
You don't get out a lot.
That's genius, isn't it?
You remember, who was the company that did the peanut butter and jelly in the same jar?
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah.
Goobers, I think that's called.
Goobers?
Was it Goobers, Joe?
Yeah. It looked disgusting. Yeah, but
they still do that.
Do they really?
Yeah, they still do.
That's not right.
Old school.
847, Arby's beef and cheddar chips.
Oh, yeah. I'm into that.
Is there any of these you don't like?
I could get into that.
Mocha shake.
I could pass on that.
Okay. 630, Mellort and Dirty Socks. It's the Trump's Mellort and Dirty Socks.
Yeah.
I'm a big drinker, as you can tell. Mellort and Dirty Socks. It's called the Trump Dump.
Right. I'll pass.
Okay. Beer chips.
That would be interesting and entertaining.
They have that. They have beer soaked potato chips. Yeah, it's like.
I think they're dry potato chips, but after you get to drinking and spill beer all over them, then they're beer soaked.
Yeah.
And for those of you craving salt and sweet in the same, caramel and sea salt.
I like that idea. I would eat those.
Well, Harry Carey's got the chocolate covered.
Oh, those are so good.
Right?
Those are
chocolate covered pretzels.
Yeah. So what?
No, chocolate covered chips.
Potato chips.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
They sent over like a dozen bags of those to the
at
old
Christmas,
place.
Yeah.
Gone. At Christmas time. There were people beating each other up in the hallways over them.
So good.
How about Oak Street Beach flavored?
With just the scent of Lakeshore Drive? And then there's this one in honor of Pete. Eggplant with just eggplant. A hint of mystery.
Oh, there you go.
Is there any updates, Pete, on the eggplant story?
Yeah.
Nothing? Still nothing. No new eggplants in front of his house. You were probably involved in this. Pete Zimmerman kept getting eggplants dropped off in front of his house.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Can't look me in the eye and tell me that.
And I'm glad that he doesn't have the cameras up yet, because when he does have the cameras up yet, we'll have to change our strategy and techniques there.
Right. Yeah, tactics. Masks.
Yeah. David Hochberg, congratulations on your move.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to tell this body under a mask. Right.
Try to focus on the host.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Congratulations on your move. The office moving to the Hot West Side, I hear.
Ross's, the grand office of Pearl Mortgage that's located currently above Maggiano's.
But you're going over by Justin's house.
Yes, it's closing, is shutting down and moving. There's an office in the West Loop right by McDonald's now, by the old Harpo Studios. And there's an office on Grand Street. So they're shutting down Grand Street and moving everybody to the new and improved offices, state-of-the-art office, on Carpenter Street.
How can you be a Chicago and call it Grand Street? It's Grand Avenue.
I'm sorry.
It's like the old commercials. Grand Avenue.
But that's a hot neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a very hot neighborhood.
Yeah.
River West.
That's how you get the millennials to work for you. They all want to be in the West. Yeah.
Did you get a good mortgage right over there?
It had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. That was done without my knowledge or my partaking in anything. I'm an employee, buddy. I don't have to get involved in any of that anymore.
What do you do again?
I originate loans.
Team Hochberg.
I am the leader of a team called Team Hochberg. We have 13 loan originators. We originate over 100 loans a month, and we're very happy doing what we're doing.
Where do I find you on social media?
Social media, where don't you find me? You find me at Team Hochberg on Facebook. You find us at Team Hochberg on Instagram. Team Hochberg, David Hochberg on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it.
Can I ask you a question? Yesterday we were talking about, and I can't remember the name of it. Reverse yield.
Yeah, reverse. Yield. ReverseDavid.com.
No, it wasn't reverse David. It wasn't about reverse mortgages. It was about the interest rates intersecting. This idea of the short term and the long term, the yield curve.
Right.
But this concept that it's not a good look for our economy right now, that they're where they're at. And the mortgage industry, when you're talking about short term and long term interest rates, are you seeing a change in the way that the interest rate is, like which way it's trending up or down?
Well, it's been trending up for the past 7-8 months. It's been ever since the holidays. It's been going up. We've been talking about it for the past 8-10 years on the radio. It's a good time to lock in. Don't wait for it to go. You got a better chance of it hitting 5 than you do hitting 3.25 again. And guess what? We're hovering around 5 right now. You know, I'm a genius, right? It's like a weatherman saying it's going to rain eventually, okay? And eventually it's going to rain. Or weather person. Sorry, all you weather women out there. You know, it's like a...
You know, when you try to be sensitive, you dig a hole deeper.
It's a meteorologist.
Meteorologist. So here, we open up the rate sheets every single morning at around 10 o'clock. It's posted. That's what we quote, and we go from there. We strongly encourage our borrowers in this rate environment. You're not a bond trader. Don't screw around. If the rate's good, the payment's good, lock it in. And it's hysterical because in the Rocket Loving Lending is now running ads. Oh, you can lock in for 90 days. This is amazing. We've come up with a phenomenal program, and if rates drop, we'll lower your rate. It's been around since the creation of
mortgage rate.
It's like they
ridiculous.
And by the way, they quoted me a quarter point more than I could have got me, and $5,000 more in closing costs. So now you know how they pay for all those advertisements. But I digress. You got me all fired up about this.
We always seem to get fired up, Dave Hopper, in the morning.
All right, before we talk about what people should do, give them the plug for the reverse mortgage thing you have coming up.
Next Friday, Orion Samuelson has agreed to help me promote this. Met with him and his lovely and beautiful wife, Gloria, at Jameson Steakhouse in Huntley about 3-4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he was so interested in the product. I was telling him about it. He agreed to help me promote it. We're going to be at the Del Webb Huntley location, which is in Huntley, obviously. We're going to be talking about reverse mortgages, the benefits of reverse mortgages. It's a free event.
3 to 5.
3 to 5. There'll be refreshments from the fine people at Jameson.
And you can meet Orion. And so, David Hochberg.
Well, you come out, meet me, but more interesting to meet Orion. And learn all about reverse mortgages. A lot of misinformation.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about reverse mortgages.
Yes.
Don't be nervous.
I won't.
What do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
So what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
You know what I mean?
David Hochberg's here. Prior to getting to know David Hochberg, I thought someday down the road, maybe I'll use a reverse mortgage. And I thought the way it worked, David, was I call Tom Selleck, and Tom Selleck writes me a check. Turns out that's not accurate.
No, because Tom Selleck knows, the only thing Tom Selleck probably knows about reverse mortgages is what Tom Selleck is reading off the cue card.
Oh, as doing a commercial. Not a fan of the celebrity-endorsed reverse mortgages?
I think if you could get, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year promoting something that you don't need and will never need and know nothing about, God bless you. I think it's fantastic.
Did you hate Magnum P.I. too?
I thought it was a great show. I loved the helicopter. I liked the English guy. Yeah. I liked swimming in Hawaii. I thought it was great.
Helicopter.
You know, yeah, the helicopter thing. You know.
All right, tell me if I'm right. I got a house.
Yes.
I got a lot of equity in the house.
Yes.
But it turns out I don't have a lot of money. Maybe my 401k didn't work out. I don't have a lot of cash flow.
Right.
Reverse mortgage means that I can take money out of the built-up equity I have, and I can get that cash now. And, I don't know if you know this, David, you might want to write this down.
Yes.
I don't have to pay it back immediately.
Right.
I don't even have to make a monthly payment if I don't want to.
You're correct.
When I leave the house, that's when you collect, or if I want to pay off the loan.
Correct. Well, the one thing you're missing is one of the individuals on the loan has to be at least 61 and a half years old.
Oh.
Yes. And you need to have equity in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you just said, the income that you take out of the home is tax-free. A lot of individuals have outlived their retirement income. Okay, outlive their retirement.
But you
assets.
Like it as a product.
I think it's phenomenal. I try to get my parents into one of them.
Is there a max? Like, if your house is worth $300,000, can you do it up to $300,000 if
no.
you have equity in that?
That's a great question, Mary. It's based upon 100-year life expectancy. So the closer to 100 you are, the actuaries think you'll expire, and the more money that they'll give you. So a 62-year-old individual will get less than, obviously, a 92-year-old individual. So, and they typically land up to about, the older you are, the more you get, but we just ran numbers for a 95, 96-year-old lady who lives in a $400,000 home, and she qualified for $250,000 reverse mortgage. So,
okay. What about that?
It's a beautiful...
But like Dave Bennett, he's only 63.
Right.
Okay. They wouldn't give him that much.
But he looks like he's 25.
I know. That's the thing. That'd be really confusing for the actuaries.
Dave. And thank God they don't go off of how old you look, because Dave wouldn't qualify for anything. He wouldn't qualify for the program. But
Dave wanted to get a reverse mortgage on the seat he has here in the studio.
Well, that's not a possibility right now. There might be a lender that comes out in
the
future.
I like how you keep an open mind.
Yeah. You know, there might be something in the future. But it's a great opportunity for individuals that have outlived their retirement assets, don't have any retirement assets.
Three to five next Friday.
It's very simple. It's at Del Webb in Huntley. Jameson is going to be providing some snacks. We're going to be answering all your questions. Very simple. Go to reversedavid.com. Mm-hmm. We strongly encourage not only the experienced homeowners to attend, but their kids.
And you also encourage pre-registration.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have it's now up to 150 people. We had 130 yesterday. So,
and Orion's going to work shirtless. Is that part of the hook?
Yes. Yes. He's going to do the opening and the close. And
do that dance thing he does?
Yes. Yes. He's a great dancer.
There's a texter that got a mortgage through Pearl last year, and they want to know how long till they wait to refinance.
If you have a mortgage through Pearl last year in the low fours and you want a lower rate, it's going to be pretty difficult to do that right now unless you want to go into an adjustable rate mortgage. You typically have to wait about 6 months, 180 days.
Chips. Before we go,
yes,
Ruffles used to have a Cajun flavor about 30 years ago. They should always have one. Bratwurst sauerkraut with mustard.
Oh, so
I would like
good.
That one.
And
a flavored chip, Portillo's flavored chips, where it's just all
everything.
The scents in the kitchen. For Dave, kale flavored chips, KFC mashed potatoes and chicken.
I'll take a case.
Pesto.
Yes.
Jif peanut butter flavored chips.
Done.
Bacon double cheeseburger chips. This specifically says for Hochberg.
Absolutely.
And here's an idea. Potato chip flavored potato chips.
Genius. Yeah, so simple.
There.
So simple. How can that not fail? And why didn't we think of that before?
Right. ReverseDavid.com. Get in on it. Bill is here with his special friend. Bill, jump on that microphone. Or your special friend. I don't care.
My special friend is Judy Pilak.
Yay! Hi, we're sharing the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. You share a mic, with everyone that mic has ever been shared with.
How many people does it take to have the Steve Cochran show work?
Right? Come on,
there's
please.
Like 15 in here.
Yeah. Like Donnie and Marie.
You're so bitter.
Mic.
Stop it already.
It's an ensemble.
What are you doing today?
Yeah. Ensemble.
One of your favorite houses from television history is about to be demolished, and we want to come to their rescue so that it is not torn down.
Is it the doctor house?
I can't tell. I cannot say.
I'm the house guy?
To say.
Are they demolishing the guy named House?
No, no, no. Oh. Dr. Greg House? From No.
He's demolishing
no.
himself with all those drugs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, good way to... Yeah.
Can you tell me the era of this show?
The Brady Bunch's house.
I was just going to say it. That. I bet you.
Did I say too much?
Can I get another hint?
I just saw it. I just saw it a few months ago.
In L.A., you went and saw it?
Let's start a petition.
They're
going
to turn it down. They're tearing it down.
What?
Tear it down, they say.
Well, Mike Brady's an architect. He can do a new one.
Another one. Right.
I'll see you tomorrow. Here's Bill.